halftime on the Don and Mike Show.
Fresh off his court case victory, here is C. Gordon Liddy. Suckers.
Well, we were behind you all the way.
I know you were.
You can't drink anymore. You don't smoke.
That's right.
I hope
2 out of 3.
I hope tonight you're able to go out and get laid.
So do I.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
The son of a beach.
Hello, everybody. You got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live. Every weekday from the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C., broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. You can call Don and Mike anytime for free at 877-365-3636. But turn your radio down. Know who would you do call. Don't call to play the name game. No calls to rape women. Don't ask when they're coming to your town. And don't call telling jokes.
Oh, for you.
Mike Hunt filled in for me, right?
The Don and Mike Show. You can get it all for you. Who do you like?
What?
The Don and Mike Show. The best thing you're going to find. The Don and Mike Show. On your radio.
What?
Get into it.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll free at 1-877-365-3636. That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Ladies and gentlemen, he died for your sins. I give you Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
I'm Rob A. Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show on WJFK, and I want to know, are you ready to help our team do a big win over the Giants today? What do you say, fans?
Rob Spiewak.
What do you say, fans?
Oh, poor Phil.
Oh, poor you.
Oh, poor you.
Phil and I had a busy weekend.
You and Phil, really? Why?
Yeah, we bought matching caving helmets. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Lifeline and all the ships at sea. And now, future host of the CBS Good Morning Show,
yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie.
Hello.
Thank you for listening, everybody, coast to coast and nationwide. Now, don't laugh. Show syndicated through Westwood One.
Oh.
I told you. Don't laugh.
Oh,
it's a real company. It really is. I swear to God. It's Monday. February 5. Phone number, same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Thank you, Timmy. 877-365-3636. 877-365-3636. Or that's just 1-877-04-U.
Oh, for you.
I'm kidding about that. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to my world.
Welcome to our world.
Won't you come on in?
Featuring the ghost of Nancy Marchand.
Oh, for you.
Miracles, I guess.
For him.
Step into my heart.
And for him.
Oh, for you.
I just did all this. Me.
Yeah. Your care.
You.
Right.
Buzz. Oh, I forgot. Charlie.
Oh, for you.
And of course, all for you is built with you in mind.
Built with you in mind. Built with you in mind.
For you.
Yeah. So, hi everybody. You know what's great about feeling better is that when you have gone through some kind of an illness like I just had, whatever this flu thing is,
yes,
that when you feel better, when you finally start to feel closer to normal,
yes,
at least for a small period of time,
mm-hmm.
you really appreciate how great you feel.
Yeah. Well, you have your health.
Yes, and I'm here to tell you that period of time has already come and gone.
Yeah, I got mine Friday. I was very, very happy, and then it left early. And you know, it's that euphoria that you feel, and then you realize, well, you're healthy doing the same thing you always do.
Yeah, except you don't have quite as much to to bitch about.
Oh, poor you!
And what better way to celebrate the fact that I was finally feeling better by going out and making myself absolutely rotten, stinking, sickly drunk on Saturday night, which I did. And I know you followed the same format.
Yeah, I was a little earlier. I did it on Friday night and, got lectured about it today from all the people that are trying to help me get healthy. You know, and I said, well, you know, it's just one bottle.
The people at the meetings.
Right.
Hi, Mike.
Hi,
everybody.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you? Stand up, raise my hand, tell my story.
So listen, hey, you know what, Robbie? I think you busted these headphones when you dropped them.
No.
I think I got another pair upstairs.
I'll go check.
Could you grab them, please?
Sounds weird in here today. It sounds Monday weird. It sounds like things were done over the weekend. I can't put my finger on it. I wouldn't be able to describe to you what has been done, but there's just something amiss, and I have no idea what it is.
Well, I'm losing one channel of my headphones. It just goes, Rob just picked them up and dropped them. Just forgot that he had it. Listen, I'll tell you why Rob is a bit more wound up than normal today.
Why? Yeah, he seems to be uptight.
Well, because he's got that whole Lifeline thing today.
Oh, that's right.
That guy's going to be on the Millionaire Show today.
Right.
And Rob has been in contact with the show's producers.
Is he the number one Lifeline?
Yeah, all day long.
Cool.
There's some guy who listens to the show, and he's in New York now to tape Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And I told Rob that when they call,
right,
Rob should take the call live on the air.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
No, Rob won't do that because the producers told him not to. Furthermore, here's what they told him to do. Between, I think, 4 and 7 East Coast time,
right,
Rob is supposed to be sitting in a room by himself waiting for the phone to ring. He is not.
And this is one guy of how many that might not even get chosen, right?
Right. I guess there's 10 people on the show, 10 contestants, and each of them might have 2 or 3 people who are friends who are Lifelines.
You would think that if they got chosen, that they'd give the person that was going to be the Lifeline a heads up that, this person's been chosen now, be ready.
Well, now listen, that's exactly what they said they would do. They would call to say, your friend has made it out of the fastest finger.
Okay.
So at that point, Rob is supposed to go sit by a telephone.
I would say that this guy, based on the fact that he chose Rob, has a good chance of getting out of the fastest finger round.
And I would disagree for the same reason.
Okay, yeah.
The deal is
because he chose Rob, he's a blithering idiot.
because I guess the deal is Rob said that if they call him and they say, this guy made it onto the hot seat.
Right.
At that point, Rob is immediately going to leave the studio and is going to go sit in the producer's room where he's given them a special telephone number. And Rob has been instructed to let the phone ring 3 times before he picks it up.
Wow.
Now, of course, none of this could end up happening.
No.
Am I telling this correctly? Am I?
You know what? I didn't hear you. I've got written down what they told me.
Okay, come on. Step up and give us the instructions. If you do happen to be a Lifeline. And pardon me just one moment while I plug in a new set of cans.
Nothing we could do get you to take that call in here, huh? Yeah, that's ABC, Rob.
I know. If they did that, they would...
Oh, that's better.
Is that nice?
Oh, that's better. Oh, I love a good set of cans.
Are those new cans?
I believe they are. They look good. The spongy felt.
Brand new?
Set of juice in my cans and my Karsh Pro 4AA.
Still the greatest headphones ever.
Yeah.
Made.
Okay, so anyway.
So comfortable.
If they call.
I find them infinitely comfortable.
They weigh like 40 pounds.
That's why I have this huge headphone head every day, but it's they're the best.
So they don't suit the bigger head, I guess.
So, Rob, listen. If they do call.
Yes.
And you have to go back into the other room.
Right.
You're going to just sit in front of the telephone and wait for it to ring 3 times?
I will get what is known as a heads-up call if Mr. Scott Braxton makes it to the hot seat. And we wish him all the best.
Yeah, so you only have to run into that room if you get the heads-up call.
Right. And if that happens, I sit there. I have to let the phone ring 3 times. We at ABC.
Oh, poor you.
Ask that you are the only person to pick up that phone.
Yes.
That's what they say. And so let it ring 3 times for editing purposes. And I didn't ask. But because
is that how they put it to you, that we ask that you are the only person to pick up that phone?
Right. And they say, let it ring 3 times.
I told them technically you'd go along with that.
Make sure, though, that whatever this guy's question is, and however you can help him, you've got to mention you're from the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, and they said you can't mention any website or product. I said, that's fine, because the Don and Mike Show isn't a product.
No, heavens no.
No.
I would assume he would say this is my friend Rob Spiewak from the Don and Mike Show when he sets it
up. I would
and
think
then,
so.
You know,
I usually ask.
It'll be pretty funny, because then it'll be, this is my friend Rob Spiewak. Hi, is this Rob? Yes, this is Rob from the Don and Mike Show.
Well, that's definitely how you should identify
yourself.
I will
answer the phone, Don and Mike Show. Because that's the Don and Mike Show phone.
Right, right.
Regis, you seven times the son of a gun, how are you? So let it ring three times, I will answer, then Regis will explain where Scott is at that point in the contest. Huh. And then...
Hi, Rob, it's Regis Philbin from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Regis, you're cute.
Oh, God bless you. You're cute, too, Rob.
God, you're cute.
And then Scott starts talking, and he has 30 seconds in which to do it. Ask me the question, and I know from experience the worst thing I can do is to repeat the answers as he goes, because it just ruins everything, so I'll listen, give my feelings as to what the answer is, and she says, make sure you tell him if you're sure or not sure.
You know what you should do?
I mean, again, I hope this guy wins the money, and sure. I hope that you get to be the phone-a-friend, but you should say, gee, I was talking to my friends... Don and Mike, about the presidency of the Ulysses
right.
S. Grant. I was talking to my friends, Don and Mike, about the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
I think my friends, Don and Mike, would probably say, and I usually go along with everything they say, you know.
Don and Mike are very sure about it. And then at 30 seconds, the audio of my talking is cut. But I stay on the line because they'll come and tell me how it ended out.
Oh,
now,
good.
Now, do you know if you're this guy's number one lifeline?
No, I don't. And also, I think that you're allowed several lifelines depending on what area of expertise it is.
It's probably going to be a CF. You probably won't get the call.
I would imagine not.
Well, the odds are overwhelming against him, but... Yeah. I would say the odds dramatically improve if he gets through the smelliest finger part of the game.
Yeah.
So
all right.
We'll see. And that'll happen between 4 and 7, so it'll be during today's show.
Okay, let us know.
Cool.
Also, today, at some point, we're going to be joined by TV star Leah Remini.
Ooh.
Because that funny honey cunny.
Yep.
She was out today.
Warning, Will Robinson. Warning.
She was doing a radio tour. I mean, she wasn't out. She was on the telephone.
Right.
And this morning, I got a call from Mike. Now, normally it's me calling Mike saying, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to believe what this has happened or this has happened. Mm-hmm. Mike was actually out and said to me, hey, turn on Jack Diamond's show right now.
I actually turned up the radio.
Wow.
I said, listen to this. And there she was in her first segment.
Yeah. So she was on with Harvey.
Oh, my God.
And I understand... that Charlie has already spoken to Leah, and that she was just given a list of 15 radio stations to call, that she had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend like 10 minutes with each radio station.
She's right. A trooper working hard for her TV show.
But
she probably hadn't, I mean, I don't doubt for a second she had no idea of our feud with Harvey.
No, but she does know that we base everything out of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to tell her that, you know the Washington, D.C., we always thought that we kind of had, at least in this city, exclusivity, the one Leah Remini.
We thought we owned her.
She's yours. And she'll understand when we explain the feud that we've had with this, that this is really one of the DJs in Washington, D.C. that we've had a feud with for a long time.
Yeah, for 15 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's coming on at some point today, and I think she's been hip to the fact that we're pissed that she went on Harvey's show, and
she'll be funny about it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's great in situations like that.
And who knows, perhaps she'll be able to give us some insight as to what it's like to be a guest on the Drivers in the Morning Get Together.
Well, I listen to that crap. I mean, my God. You know.
Hey, this is a perfect role for you, my friend.
What?
I want to say something. We love your work on the King of Queens. Keep in mind the whole time, you know, the ponytailed schmuck, Harvey Jack Diamond, he knows. He listens to our show.
They knew.
He knows that she's a regular on this show.
Absolutely. Sure. And I bet they just jumped at it.
Sure.
When she was probably on a big list because they were doing this series of interviews, and they said, would you like, hey, isn't that the one that's on Don? Yes, get her. Yes, sir. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Thank you.
And not to mention the fact that after the interview was over, they did some bad-mouthing of her.
Yeah, he dissed her.
And
he said something like, I don't think that went well at the beginning, something like that. You know what I mean?
In his little mamby-pamby, mealy-mouthed way.
It took a little while to get up to speed.
Yeah, to get up to the speed of the Jack Diamond morning show. And this is the only thing, when you listen to that show, you know what you hear? You hear this. Beep, beep. because that's the sound that a truck makes when it's moving in reverse.
Yeah, she had trouble keeping up with those lightsaber wits of theirs.
Right, with that rapier wit of Jack Diamond.
I mean, really, they. But I don't doubt for a second that that was the reason that she was booked on that show. But, you know, it'll be fun to talk to Leah about that.
Well, we're going
to
bust her balls a little about it.
Absolutely.
And not to mention the fact that our former intern,
yes,
who is now the producer of the other CBS show, Yes, Dear.
Yes, Dear, a show that I got to start watching again now that you gave me the news that you gave me.
Yeah, he actually called, and he has a role for both Mike and myself.
Wow. Right.
That include actual lines.
Cool. Do you realize that, you know, if we go out there and I have a line, it'll be one thing. But when you get a line in this show, that you will now have what is described as a somewhat extensive television resume.
A resume, yes.
You know, and I will be starting mine, and but both of ours will be, they're starting to mount up, you know, and I think our goal should be 2 shows a year.
I think.
Two shows out there a year.
I think that we're probably, like I told you, you're going to have to pass on the first one.
Right.
The first opportunity for Yes Dear, because they taped that show on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
and the day that he had the lines for us in this episode, that's like a day before we're going to Reno.
Right.
And there's too much crap with travel. I said to Charlie, well, why don't we just fly out there, do that thing on Yes Dear, then fly right from Los Angeles to Reno.
That would have been my thought. I wish, but I guess everything was already, you know.
Yeah, he said
travel in this company.
Everything has been paid for already.
Locked in.
And the only way you guys could do it would be to fly back from Los Angeles back to Washington, and then get on an airplane and fly back from Washington all the way out to Reno. So, you know, the timing's not right. However, there's no reason for lovely Ms. Remini to know that we're not going to do it right away.
Yeah, and kind of should be explained, you know, and I can lobby her on this one. You know, when you had your big appearance out there, and she said to me, I just etched it in stone. She said, well, we'll have you both on again.
Yeah.
You know, she did say that, did she not?
Yes, she did.
You know, and I'd love to hear her say it again.
Yes, she did. And, you know, we would have been good in this one on Yes, Dear, because they wanted us to be jurors.
Oh, we'd be fantastic.
We would actually stand up and say something in a trial. Oh, what about a trial? I told you Lester Burnham would get off.
Yeah, he got off, and you called that absolutely dead on. But I'll tell you, I watched some of that press conference, and you know what? I still think he's creepy. I really do. Well, I don't doubt that he's not guilty. I don't think he did.
Dude should not have gone in a hot tub
right,
with a bunch of high school chicks in his underpants.
Yeah, and you know, the press conference, who knows?
We have that?
Oh, we have some tape of that. Give me the shortest one. Give me the one where he's crying.
This is the best one for crying.
Oh, for Chewy. Oh, here he is now. Hey, dear Packer fans.
I know, as a Green Bay Packer and a professional athlete, I've disappointed many, many people. And for that, I am truly sorry. I promise you, nothing like this will ever happen again.
Oh,
okay, I didn't hear that.
For you.
All right, I didn't hear that. I heard the kind of defiant tone, you know, that I'm going to go back. I don't want to go out on this note.
No. That's where he's talking about playing football.
Right, okay.
That's where he's saying, I've still got, you know, the fire in my belly.
No, I mean, you know what? I have been so hot and cold on this guy throughout the whole thing. If nothing really did happen, and, you know, he's been found not guilty, he was in a situation he shouldn't have been, and that's what I wanted to hear from the guy. That's like saying, yeah, you know, he let a lot of people down, he shouldn't have been there, and to me, that's what he was saying. I feel differently. So, hey, Mark Chamora, you know, do you think there's a chance that he'd ever go back to the Packers again?
No way.
But he will play in the NFL again.
Yeah, and remember, there's always the XFL.
Yeah, where they encourage that type of behavior.
And listen, about the XFL, okay? Yeah. Nobody loves football more than me.
I was buku surprised when you told me this in the office.
Keep in mind, I watch arena football. Mm-hmm. I watch NFL Europe.
Right.
I've been known to watch a Canadian football game.
I thought this would be, designed for you.
Listen, here's what I liked about the XFL. I like all of the bells and whistles. I mean, they got some camera angles that are cool.
Right.
They've got microphones at all the players. That's cool. What's not cool is that the players suck. The players are awful.
So the level of play is so poor that it doesn't make up for...
No, they were...
That all the bells and whistles don't make up for poor play.
The Los Angeles... who was it? Las Vegas and New York.
Right.
The game that was on NBC on Saturday night. They announced it as a sellout. However, it looked like they were playing it at the stadium down the street at Paul the Sixth High School.
Right. Yeah, and they said that, you know, there's a real good chance a lot of those tickets were free.
Yeah, but even with that, I mean, at best you're watching a game in a junior college-type stadium.
Right.
And beyond all the whores with big boobs who are on the sidelines holding up signs for Budweiser and stuff like that, I thought the games sucked.
How did you like Governor Ventura's commentary?
He is a dope. he is a friggin' dope.
I'll tell you right now, he's not hurt.
If I lived in Minnesota, I'd be moving today. This is the guy who I'm counting on to get better roads, better schools, cut my taxes. Oh, my God, the guy is just a freaking idiot.
Well, I hope there's not a major disaster in Minnesota when the governor's doing his color commentary.
I bet that rating that they have, it's a third next week. It pulled a 10 share. Mm-hmm. And I know it pulled a 10 share because lots of people like me wanted to watch it, to experience it, to see what it was all about.
Well, I know that I hadn't been out and going to the movies. I would have gone. I would have been right in front of that. And I'm normally, you know, like NFL Europe or any of that. I have nothing to do with that. But the hype for the XFL got me. I wanted to check it out. I wanted to see what was going on. But then I was really surprised.
I didn't like it
because everything I read would have indicated that you know, you would have liked
it. Well, here's a problem. They do have the quarterback in the huddle, so you could hear him as he's in the huddle saying, you know, X slot 47-2 on one break. Well, at that point, you need the announcer to say to you,
yeah,
this pass is going to be a running play to the right. It's going to be a pass to the left. Well, the guys in the booth, they don't know what the plays are.
They don't know what the plays are.
So what's the point of hearing what play is called if you don't have any indication on where the play is going?
Yeah, so but I would imagine that really the main reason still, though, is that the quality of play was so poor.
And not to mention, I mean, I know that they're going for the wrestling audience.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the guys don't have to put their names on the back of their jerseys. They could put slogans or nicknames. Yeah. And one guy on the back of his shirt, he had, "He hate me."
Right. And did I read or somebody tell me that it was "he hate me" because they wouldn't allow "they hate me"?
I don't know.
Because when they interviewed the guy, he said, "Well, you see everybody over on that other sideline? They hate me."
Well, there was some Polish dude who's the quarterback of the San Francisco team who had a name that was like Wheel of Fortune by a vowel. I mean, it was 12 letters that ended in S-K-I, so I got to think, if you're talking about two letters, you know, T, H.
No, it was the content. Apparently, they didn't. That's what I heard.
They hate me?
They hate me was not. They didn't approve it. But they approved he hate
me. He hate me.
Right.
He hate me.
He hate me.
He hate me.
He hate me.
Me, I'm good. Me play football.
I like me.
Me. So, I don't know. I watched it. Mm-hmm. Thought it sucked. I thought the game on Sunday was even worse because they had that idiot Brian Bosworth doing commentary on the game.
So you had Governor Ventura doing the first game and then Brian Bosworth doing the other game.
Yeah, doing the game on UPN.
Oh, God.
But they're good with the graphics and stuff. And
what's Brian Bosworth done the last, you know, so, I mean, he was a failure in the NFL.
Well, remember he got knocked over by, what's his name, by Bo Jackson on that famous Monday Night Play where Bo Jackson knocked him over and ran all the way into a tunnel.
Then he was a failure as a movie star.
Yeah, he had one movie.
And now he's back.
And that's it. And I watched it, and it's pretty, you know, they got the stuff in the corner with the score like they do on Fox. And
how about the uniforms?
The uniforms are kind of gay. Mm-hmm. The uniforms are kind of Tennessee Titan-ish.
Ah, boo.
What did you think of the coin toss variation?
Okay, oh, yeah. That's the only thing that I did like.
What is the coin toss?
Okay, instead of a coin toss.
Oh, is this the kickoff where they run down to the ball?
They put a ball at the 50-yard line. We got two guys 10 yards away. They say, ready, set, go. And these guys just run down and fight for the ball.
That's great.
Now that's,
those are the first one to get to the ball, and also if they get there at the same time, they just wrestle each other?
They fight each other for it. Yeah. Now, that was an innovation that I did enjoy.
Just two guys, right?
Right.
Yeah, but that only served to decide, you know, who was going to get the ball first.
Right. Right. Do they do it on every kickoff?
No, just in the beginning of the game.
See, you could do that on every kickoff. Every time the other team scores, it's not a given that the scoring team is going to kick off. You probably have it. That's what, if you like that part, they could modify it.
And a lot of times the main camera angle was from behind the guys. Mm-hmm. It was like from an end zone. It was like the same angle you get when you play a video game.
When they did that, did the guys get there at the same time, pretty much?
Yeah.
Get to the ball at the same time,
well,
so there was a bit of contact?
The first time one guy cheated, and
right.
He left early.
Okay.
So they had to call them back to do it again.
I see. That is very cool. I'd like to see that.
And then the second time, yeah, they did fight. And in one of the other games, some guy dislocated his shoulder.
Trying to get the ball?
Trying to get the ball.
Very cool.
Yeah, but beyond that, there was none of this, of the hype that I heard about how it's going to be no holds barred football.
Were there any, dangerous, non-fair catches? Like
no.
When they punted?
No. I mean, it was like a regular football game.
It was mild.
And
see, there's the quality of play. You couldn't do that. You'd have an injury in a regular NFL game. If you had a no fair catch rule, you would have an injury, I would believe, in every game.
Because
the quality of
those punters, guys are true athletes.
I mean, the punters are so superb. I mean, they put that hang time where you've got the entire team down there. I mean, how many, wouldn't you say, in the NFL, it's probably 50% at least fair catches?
And the other thing that, I didn't like that was slowing the game down was, I mean, I know it's real football, but they've advertised it as something other than real football.
They've advertised it as something that's more intense and a little more violent than the regular NFL.
They had more penalties than in a regular NFL game.
Uh-huh.
More, you know, refs throwing the flag, more.
See, I'm surprised at that because I would think it would be no holes barred. Let them play.
No, not at all.
Eye gouging.
And there's
biting.
And there's too much of the crap with the players, like, coming up to the microphone at halftime and going, yo, I want to say that. Shout to my peeps. Yo, keep it real in the field. Yo. I mean, you know, too much of that crap and too much of the swarmy announcers on the sidelines trying to talk to, like, talk to a player after he drops a ball. At one point, they're trying to talk to this coach.
Do you see yourself coming around on this league at all, or is it...
Maybe.
Know.
I mean, I'll probably continue to watch it for a couple of weeks.
You have, even though you've been slamming it, I just got to see whether it's, you know, decent at all.
But the bottom line is, let me ask you this. And you know how much I love football, but I like real good pro football with good pro football players.
Right.
When you get past all of this junk that they put there, the players are no good.
I want to see some good plays.
If the players were any good, they wouldn't be in the XFL.
I either want to see better players or more carnage.
I would agree.
I mean, you know, really, like, have, you know, this is, have one guy, we call him Razor. You know, don't tackle him. You know, they don't know which guy it is, but his nickname is Razor.
And,
you know, and then they go, like, for one of those shoestring tackles, you know, and he hits his kink, right, and the blade comes out, and the guy goes,
and I can do without big, dumb Vince McMahon at every game coming out on the field.
Steroid-ridden Vince McMahon, huh?
This is a great moment for America. This is a great moment for the fans of football.
Does anybody remember Vince McMahon when he was a 98-pound weakling?
Yeah, of course.
In the early days of wrestling where he was the announcer for wrestling. And, I mean, he was rail thin, and then he got this new persona and this new body where he's like... Rrr, rrr.
You know, after watching the XFL, I turned on the Pro Bowl last night.
Right.
Which is always... the most, you know, boring game of the year.
Yeah, what the hell is that for?
And
they say it's for the players. Well, great. Like, I guess getting $6 million a year, living a pampered lifestyle, being a turbo celebrity is not enough. What is the point of that?
Well, I watched it anyway. I couldn't help it.
Because
it's always fun to see guys with different helmets on, you know, wearing the same jerseys, but they got different helmets on. I thought that last night during that game, Dennis Miller was as loose and as funny as he was at any time.
You're right, he was relaxed.
During the entire Monday Night Football, all season long, and Al Michaels was such a dick to Dennis Miller last night.
Yeah.
Dennis Miller said stuff that seriously made me laugh out loud.
Hey, Pino.
Seriously.
Pino, how do you, that now is all he calls him, Pino.
They start the game, and Al Michaels is wearing the Hawaiian shirt. He goes to Dan Fouts in the Hawaiian shirt. They go to Dennis Miller, who's got like this retarded Brad Pitt short haircut. He's wearing a tuxedo.
And he said, I didn't see that.
And he says, hey, man, I don't know what you guys thought, but we're here working today. I'm here to do my job. And immediately they go to Dennis Miller and they say, what do you think about this game? And I don't know. He went off on some riff about Clinton taking gifts at the White House, or that dude that Clinton pardoned, and how the guy could get away with owing $26 million in the IRS. And he gives the microphone back to Al Michaels, and Al Michaels just looks at him. You know, like, what the hell was that? And I thought, that's beautiful Dennis Miller.
Yeah, I kind of thought Melissa Stark looked like a little man with her Hawaiian shirt.
Well, she has a little boy's body.
She does. And then it was never more demonstrated than when she was wearing her little blue Hawaiian shirt.
She could use some take fitties.
And I hate the uniforms for the Pro Bowl. I really do.
They are queer.
I think they ought to let them wear their own jerseys.
Yeah, why not? What the hell?
You know, just maybe have special pants.
But Dennis Miller was funny last night. And
I didn't know he wore a tuxedo. That's hysterical.
The thing that was just pissing me off is that Dennis Miller would get off a real good line.
Right.
And there would be no response.
Well, Michaels, how many times have we noticed? I mean, the man is humorless. The man is humorless.
Here we go. A word that we use on this show a lot is turgid.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, right.
Okay, well, they were talking about a stiff arm. That Corey Dillon goes around the corner and gives the guy a stiff arm. Dennis Miller says, hey, babe, that was turgid. And Al Michaels started giving a hard time, says, what is turgid?
Wrong word to question.
Man. Stiff. It means very stiff. So they go back into replay, and they see the replay, and then it wasn't really a stiff arm. But meanwhile, Dennis Miller just keeps going on with this turgid thing. It looked turgid to me. It looked turgid to me.
You know he knows the real meaning of turgid. Yeah. What is the dictionary definition of turgid?
I'll look it up.
Well, I know that we use it instead of saying erect or instead of saying boner.
I think stiff is one thing, but I do think that it's, you know, there might be a specific sexual connotation there.
What does it mean, Head?
It means made firm by being filled with fluid. It's from turgor pressure. It's like a chemical thing.
Turgid. I mean, I know
we U-R-G-I-D, right?
If you stiffen up celery by, like, soaking it in water, and you know, and it gets more firm, it has a higher turgor pressure. Turgor pressure. It's turgid.
That's why we call him brains, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why you'd be a great lifeline if they ever call you. Well, what's it say there, Buzz?
Swollen, distended. Those are the first two definitions of bombastic and grandiloquent.
Okay, so.
Swollen.
So I'm laughing because I know that we use turgid to describe boner.
Right.
And Dennis Miller is saying the word turgid like 1,000 times. Rather than laugh and go along with it, Al Michaels makes them show the replay where they show that Corey Dillon didn't really give the guy a stiff arm.
Al Michaels does not have a sense of humor.
And they come back, and Al Michaels, because he has to get the last word in, he goes, see, Dennis, we're not all stiffs around here. 7-0, that's our score. Be right back at Waikiki.
Really, it doesn't matter who they put in that booth. Really, as much as, and believe me, I mean, I think Al Michaels has done great play-by-play, but you compare Al Michaels to another play-by-play guy, Bob Costas, and it's night and day, and the difference is a sense of humor, and Al Michaels doesn't have it.
Hey, even Mike Patrick, our friend from ESPN.
Mike Patrick has a fantastic sense of humor.
And how could you not laugh? I mean, yesterday...
I saw him a couple of weeks ago, and so at the office supply store, so Mike Patrick.
Yesterday, what was he buying?
He was, I don't know, he was, it was morning. It was morning time.
Oh, so you don't remember?
Yeah, it was. No, it was just he looked like morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he did. But it was good to see him. It was very good to see him.
If there was ever a game where you want Dennis Miller to be the Dennis Miller from TV, it's during the Pro Bowl, during a game that doesn't matter, where like half the time they're interviewing players on the sidelines and you're not even really watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was really on top of things and funny as S.
You need to get one person in that booth that can compliment Dennis Miller. It's not going to be Al Michaels, but you don't need it to be Al Michaels. Right. You need somebody who's going to not be the straight football analyst. You need a guy like Meredith was to Howard Cosell. That's what made that click, and they don't get that. And, you know, Dan Fouts, I think, really is eventually going, if they're smart enough, he's going to be the guy. As much as I like, you know, he knows his football, but there's not a with it bone in his body. And you got to have somebody, you could even bring in, like, I would even use like a Terry Bradshaw kind of guy that Dennis could make fun of and play off.
And he would laugh at it.
You mm-hmm. could put Sam Huff in that booth.
All right, now you've gone too far.
This is Sam Huff.
Now you've gone too far.
But, I mean, Dan Fouts is just bland, and Al Michaels is bland, and Dennis Miller is there with his own little planet. And he's hysterically funny, and it's not getting delivered. Oh,
and Al Michaels got pissed when at one point they were talking to Nick Bonaconte on the sidelines.
Speaking of turgid,
okay, oh, so my. It's like Melissa Stark. Let's go down to Melissa Stark with Nick Bonaconte, and Nick Bonaconte says, "Hey, I want to say hi to Dennis Miller, and I want to know." Being as we're both on HBO, how come you gave me such a bad time? I've been sitting around for 40 minutes waiting to do this interview. Dennis, couldn't you give me a hand, being as we both work for HBO? And they go back up to the booth, and Al Michaels goes, "What was that about?" And Dennis Miller then has to explain, "Well, he does a show on HBO and it's inside the NFL, and I do my show on HBO, the Dennis Miller show."
You know, I'm probably not all that funny coming from Nick Bonaconte anyway, yeah. You know?
But he was trying. At least the feeling I got is that Al Michaels, and I guess he's a real prick to work with.
Right.
Like they go down to the sidelines, and he got offended because all Nick Bonaconte wanted to talk about was, "Hey, I want to say hi to Dennis Miller. And hey, Dennis, how come you're giving me such a crappy time?"
Right.
And then Al Michaels came back and said, "Technically, we're very close to prime time on the East Coast, so you can tell your friend from HBO that we actually put him on in prime time."
You know who I'd put in that booth?
Who?
I would put Tony Siragusa in that booth. I would put him in that booth. Now, I know he does something up there in Baltimore. It's probably conflicts with this show. But I'll tell you, did you see him on Inside the NFL?
You see him on Letterman?
Yeah, no, I never saw him on Letterman.
He was funnier on Letterman than on Inside the NFL.
That guy, you want to know that he is, I mean, he could retire tomorrow, and he's going to be in a broadcast booth.
He's not in a coffin.
Oh, boy, you.
We just dropped dead first.
He's a big man.
Sure is.
Yeah. And I guess he announced his wife's pregnant again. I guess that day, the day of that game, right?
At the
Super Bowl, right?
At the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I give that woman a tremendous amount of credit.
Yeah. Me too. She must be on top.
Oh, it's just astonishing.
There's no way she could be on bottom.
I don't see any way.
Uh-uh.
My God.
Get in my belly. I want to eat the baby. Get in my belly.
Oh, man.
Oh, the last thing. Listen, I know we got to go to break. We got tons of weekend stuff to get to. But the last thing is just, I know we harp on this all the time, but I got to say it again. The weather forecasters in Washington, D.C. are the biggest eunuchs in the world.
It's official. They'll never get it right.
No clue.
Period. I watched the 10 o'clock news last night before I went to sleep where they said rain today, Monday. I was up this morning at 6 o'clock on that goddamn exercise bicycle thing watching news for today.
Right.
The show that comes on before the Today Show.
Right.
As I'm looking outside.
With Krebs.
Yeah, and I'm seeing it outside as I'm seeing gigantic freaking snowflakes coming down.
Right.
I hear them saying there's a slight chance of a rain event this morning, but by this afternoon, it's going to be sunny and it's going to be fantastic. Right. Well, as the morning goes on, I did the carpool experience and, you know, made my way through all of the snow and got back home. By the time I got back home, they already had 2 inches of snow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're still saying on TV, but by this time, by about 9 o'clock, they've started to change the story where they're saying, well, the rain-snow line is much closer to Washington than we actually thought it was going to be.
Yeah, they ought to really just bag it. They ought to bag it. Like, when the weather guy comes up, I would love to. I don't know. I really have no idea. You know,
there's
the rain-snow line. I could talk to you about that, but it could be rain. It could be snow.
We are surprised as S that this has happened today.
Yeah. And, you know, but really lay it on the line, though. You know, I'm going to say snow.
Yeah, why not spin a wheel? Like, we used to have the wheel of Van Dyke in here.
Absolutely.
Just spin a wheel. And the problem is, none of them have the balls to say, God, it's snowing like a blizzard outside, and we didn't know it. As a matter of fact, I saw Burger Jeff Tom Curine on Channel 4.
Burger Jeff.
He was doing the break-in right before 9 o'clock.
Right.
And they said to him, hey, how about all this snow? Because they got the live shot of the airport. It was like a blizzard.
Yeah, I mean, it was this heavy, wet snow, too. I mean, it just thick. The
giant
sky
flakes.
Was thick with it.
And Tom Curine said, well, if you remember last week, I believe I told you there was a chance that this could happen today. So for those of you who were paying attention last week,
right,
you know that we called this. Now, I don't doubt at least one time last week, one of those bozos on Channel 4 probably said, hey, we might get some snow on Monday.
Weren't we discussing that when you get outside of 24 hours, the probability of nailing a forecast is, I think, a negative 70% that you're not going to be able to do it. You get outside of 48 hours and you can't. I mean, it's just what you're doing is you're guessing.
It's got to be. They can't get today's ride calling
they
for
can't.
Rain and then it snows for 3
they
hours.
They called for 49 degrees on Sunday.
Right.
You know, they called for 49 degrees. It was 43 degrees and it was freezing and they said it was going to be kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, well, you know what? I guess probably at some point during the last week, someone on Channel 4 did say, hey, we might get snow
sure.
on Monday. But I'm sure they also said, some point next week, it might be 70 degrees. At some point next week, giant cracks in the Earth's surface will appear and the dinosaurs will return. Just in case any of those things happen.
I was thinking about,
they've got it on record that they've said it.
They talk about this area being extremely difficult to predict. And I am wondering whether, are we alone here in Washington, D.C., or is, you know, are weather forecasters, I know that where I'm from in Connecticut, in Hartford, Connecticut, they used to do the same crap, where they talk about this rain-snow line. Oh. I mean, is there any place where it's easy to predict the weather?
Yeah.
I think they're all there.
Southern California, because it's always the same.
Right. Yeah, and they got that guy with the big bow, you know, the big
carnation.
Corsage.
Yeah, it's always easy in Southern California when you open the weather window. Thank you, Al. Because it's always sunny and 80 in Southern California.
Sunny and 80 today. Thank you. Bye-bye. A little fog in the valley.
Yeah. F the weather, guys.
Here, here.
Really just
yeah.
F them. And do me one more favor. If you're going to put the school closing information on the screen, why do you have to take the picture of the show and make that so tiny? Like, for instance,
so you can put a nice graphic with snow falling in back of it.
Yeah, like three quarters of the screen mm-hmm. is like, you're right, a big snowflake.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying keep the screen the same size and just run a crawler underneath.
Yeah, why does three quarters of the screen have to be a blue backdrop that says winter storm with pictures of giant snowflakes?
I've always thought that on ESPN when I'm watching a ball game. Why do they have to shrink the screen?
Well, if you were a director at Channel 4 and you had a valid reason to make Barbara Harrison smaller, wouldn't you?
No, but you're right. They do that on Fox and CBS with football games as well.
I hate it. It's horrible.
It has to do with the shape of the screen and not wanting to put graphics over other graphics. As you know, they always have the bug in the lower right-hand corner, and usually there's a graphic with the anchor's name or whatever. If they ran the school closings over a regular size picture, that would all clash.
A bug in the lower right-hand corner?
Yeah, the bug is what they call in TV, what they call that logo.
I knew you were using TV jargon.
They call the logo in the lower right-hand corner.
It's the bug.
They call it the bug.
Cool.
The bug.
You learn something every day on this show.
Show off.
I knew he was showing off. Sorry to call him on it. There you go.
Goddamn show off with your media center and your captain's chairs. Oh, Buzz.
Oh, for you.
I picked up a surround sound system this weekend.
Cool.
Did you? Yeah, but I felt guilty about it. I took advantage of Montgomery Ward.
That's all right.
Yeah, getting something from one of those stores that's going out of business.
Don't worry about it.
You know, the guy was so nice to me, too. You know, I almost wanted to ask him. I said, so, you want to work after this or what? You know, I mean, because, you know, they it's an established institution of American commerce, Montgomery Wards, and they're going out of business. But
you
I
get what you buy.
Yeah.
The quality might surprise you on that, Mike.
No, I got a cheap one. I mean, I got a cheap one for, you know, the family room. But, it's cheap. It's cheap. I mean, what do those things go for?
It can vary wildly from $200 to $3,000 easily.
Really?
Yeah.
I got my entire surround. I got the surround sound receiver. I got the center speaker, right speaker, left speaker, two rear speakers, and a subwoofer. Got it all for $4.99.
It sounds good.
$4.99.
$4.99.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, about $5. $5.07.
Good for you.
Plus tax. Yes, sir.
It's all wireless, too.
Montgomery Ward. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, Don.
Yeah.
I saw on Gordon Peterson this morning totally wigged out on the air.
Why was Gordon Peterson wigged out?
What was he doing on in the morning?
It was 4:45. Sadly, I have to get up then.
Are you sure you're not talking about Mike Buchanan?
No, no, it was the old dude with the glasses.
That's Mike Buchanan.
That's Mike Buchanan, but go ahead.
Okay, whatever the old dude is, and he's looking down at the computer screen, which they have mounted flush on their desk.
Right.
And they're doing a two-shot, and the lady's talking about how they want to go to traffic, and he's pounding the screen manically.
Yeah, that's Mike Buchanan.
That's Mike Buchanan, and that's not him wigging out. That's normal behavior for him.
Yeah, but wait, then he kicked back from the desk and kicked the desk with his feet.
Maybe he was wigging out a little bit.
Cool. Maybe. And has he got new teeth? Have you seen their promo shots where he smiles and is showing like exclusively bottom teeth? It's the most uncomfortable thing.
Maybe we could call Channel 9 and ask if Mike Buchanan's had a nervous breakdown.
Is he well?
He looked like when John Belushi would do the news.
Okay.
Well, spring is coming. In certain countries, spring roars. And remember that Belushi bit where he did the manic guy wigging out? That's great.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
See ya.
Bye-bye. All right, well, no time to say goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, radio guys. I was wondering how you felt about the fact that there's still, like, a 5-yard rule that you have to give the returner instead of the set on a fair catch.
Very true of the XFL.
Oh, wait a minute. What, did they hedge on this?
Yeah.
What's the 5-yard rule?
Well, then you got to give him 5 yards of cushion before he catches the ball.
Then that's total crap.
Well, that's
no fair catch. I was picturing a guy, you time the hit for when he catches it and you take his head off.
You know what they do have, though? They do have bump and run on the receivers that you can, if you've got guys strong enough.
But do you understand? I mean, you knew more than anybody. I mean, when I heard no fair catches, I'm like, my God. You know, some of those hits where the guy in the NFL, where the guy doesn't make a fair catch, you know, where the defender would time it perfectly.
Yeah, no, they don't have that.
Oh, that's the, okay. Well, I'm not watching that. I'll never watch.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It was Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, you said you just got over the flu, right?
Yes.
Well, didn't you guys take a couple flu shots in the studio not too long ago?
Yes, we did.
Well, doesn't that help you for forgetting, you know, for not the flu? Does that help you not get the flu?
I don't know what medical school you're going to, but let me explain something to you. Even if you get a flu shot, that's not a guarantee that you can't get sick.
Yeah, they actually put that right on the paper. I mean, it helps, but it certainly doesn't prevent all strains of flus or colds from getting into your body.
Okay.
And I know that in the case of both Mike and myself, it was something that started as a sexual problem.
Yeah, so.
Started as a painful drip, drip, drip.
Yeah, and we just got tired of taking 8 pills a day.
Because it was such a hassle.
It was a total hassle.
Yeah. And now we're down to just 2 a day. So
that's fantastic. We never felt better.
Hello, hey. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi. Is this Don and Mike?
Yes.
Hi. This morning, I heard Don Imus railing about Jesse Ventura, and he recommended that Don and Mike should do the commentary.
Was that old Iron Lung talking about us again?
Oh, I gotta tell you something funny. I was watching part of Imus' show this morning on MSNBC.
You know, as much as we hate Imus, it's the funniest thing to watch on television. Not because he's good, just to watch him.
No, it's ridiculous. Frieda will come in and say, why do you watch this? I say, look, because it's so bad.
Yeah, so bad it's hysterically funny.
It's so bad. He's...
Just see him up there with his cowboy hat.
Robot idiot.
Eating sunflower seeds.
Today, and I don't know if this is something he's done all the time, he had an actual gun, a holster, and it attached to the back of his belt.
Oh, boy.
And at one point, they were going to a wide shot. He was going to get a piece of copy, and he leans over and says, he is wearing a gun in the studio.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
How stupid are
you? Don't you need a gun permit?
I'm sure he's got one. Of course, he's a big cowboy.
Has it?
Yeah, but I mean, why do you need to strap a gun on when you're in a radio studio?
Have you ever been in a radio studio with people that carried weapons?
Yes, but they were all illegal weapons.
Oh, okay. All right.
No one who ever actually went and got a permit.
My newsman, Sonny Ubroth, God rest his soul, he's no longer with us. Sonny Ubroth, the WIRE in Annapolis, Maryland, used to have a gun, I am not kidding you, with a barrel that was that long.
Wow.
It was a .44 Magnum, and he had a special holster for it.
Sure.
And he would wear it on his side when he was doing the news.
Why?
Because he liked it. And then, during the break,
retarded, man.
He would sit there and go out in the parking lot with his state trooper friends who would come in every morning. We would have, on average, at that radio station, on certain mornings, we'd have, on average, about
eight or nine cops. Annapolis City cops, state troopers, and they'd all be coming by. And if there was anything, I mean, he was the best news guy in the world because he would get every breaking story.
Sure.
And then I'm sitting there doing the DJ show in the morning, and I as a WYRE, remember that Iraqi weather and tide timetable I hear in the background here. And I go out, and Sonny had an alarm clock that he didn't like at his house, and he brought the alarm clock
to just shoot
the station. And no, they all shot it.
They all shot it.
Yeah, I know. You know, I know they had to write their little thing. I'm not going to mention anybody's name. Right. Maybe some of those guys, but they all shot it. And I went out and I looked and I see it was him and another guy. Here's one real buddy of him, his that was a state trooper. He's the same guy that would go out on Route 50 outside of Annapolis.
Oh, you told me this, right?
And get people to race him, and then he'd race them right into the speed trap.
Nice guy. Yeah.
Oh, he was a great guy.
Hello.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, we are. Hi.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, you need to get off on the XFL, man.
I think we found the atypical. No, not the atypical. The typical fan.
Pardon me?
Hey, man, bad football is better than no football.
I disagree, and I'm someone who loves football, man.
You know what? Vince McMahon has got. He's accomplished everything he wanted. What is it? It's Monday.
For one,
that's what everybody is talking
for
about.
For 1 week, Vince McMahon accomplished everything he wanted.
Hey, you know what was on this weekend, sir?
What's that?
On cable, a movie you might like? Notting Hill.
Hey, man, you tell me that any of these games that were on Saturday and Sunday are any worse than the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl was a 1,000% better.
Super Bowl sucked.
You know what? I'm sorry. You're one of those idiots that have been brainwashed. It's, you know, more power to you, but I'm telling you, you want to make me a bet right now, anything, any amount, I'm telling you, there's no way. They came in with a 10.3 share this weekend.
That's
for
right.
Saturday night. There's no way they get that this week. As a matter of fact, there's no way they pull a 5 share.
Hey.
Because there's going to be tons of people like me that watched it out of curiosity.
Yeah, you know what? Where are you going to be next Saturday night? You're going to be watching football.
No, I'm not.
You're not going to watch it?
No.
I bet you watch.
I mean, I know you think I'm lying about this, but next Saturday.
I bet you watch.
Next Saturday night. I will be in church.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, they're having that.
God bless you.
No.
I don't care. We don't need a reason.
No, Mike, is that that annual dinner thing
at church?
Oh, man.
I think that's great.
Yes. You'll watch it again. Don't give me that.
I'm not saying I won't watch it again, but
well,
I'm telling you.
Matters.
No.
So, sir, can I just jump in here? We've got a man who just said he's going to be in church, and then you say you'll be there in front of the TV. That, to me, borders on blasphemy.
Listen, I'm telling you, yeah, I'll watch it again, but then again, can I tell you what else I watch? Do you know that I also spend my time watching quality shows like The White Shadow? Do you know that I also watch Dick Van Dyke every day? Do you know that I also watch The View?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that I also watch Court TV?
The password is Renaissance Man.
Let me simply say, if it's on TV, I watch it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, I am...
Did you watch Notting Hill on cable?
My point is, if you'll watch it...
My channel 539, I believe it was on this weekend.
Hey, fantastic.
If
yes.
If you watch it, it will survive.
No, listen, don't you get my point, dummy? I watch everything. And half the crap that I watch doesn't make it. I mean, I wish it did, but the world doesn't revolve around me and my personal viewing habits.
I just can't believe all these people say it sucks so bad, but it was none of those games were any worse than that Super Bowl was.
Well, now, what are you talking about? I mean, are you talking about...
Super Bowl was horrible.
Well, I mean, it was a blowout, but I mean, the quality of play in the Super Bowl compared to the XFL, you wouldn't get a defense like that.
We'd get Kerry Collins, right?
No, but you know what? You name me one quarterback in the XFL as good as Kerry Collins.
I don't know the players in the XFL, but I know none of them threw 5 interceptions the other day.
You're trying to make a distinction between a game that was a blowout
and quality
of play.
How about Kerry Collins in the game against the Vikings when he threw for 5 TDs?
What about it?
Okay, that's what I'm saying to you. You're offering up his performance in the Super Bowl. I'll say, what about Kerry Collins against the Vikings? You got anybody in the XFL who's done that good?
I'm sure somebody will. Everybody has a good day.
Listen, you know
nothing
what?
You can say.
God bless you. Vince McMahon is probably going to want to call you and clone you because you're the type of guy that's going to. I'm telling you, if it was good, I would say so.
But you'll watch it. That's my point. You will watch.
What, Charlie?
The pictures of Marilyn are here.
The pictures of Marilyn Monroe?
From Survivor?
Yes, from Survivor.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, you mean the yearbook pictures of Marilyn, the older lady that's on Survivor?
The old broad. All right, listen, I wish I had more time to discuss this with you, but you mark my words.
Do you think the league's going down? Are you going to predict the league's going down?
They'll maintain it for 2 years because they got the money behind it.
Right.
But it's not going to be...
The ratings will be in the toilet.
They will.
Okay.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a millionaire bet, right?
Hey, I got news for you, douchebag. You know what I am? I'm Nostradamus. Check it out, man. Check out the ratings on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Check out the fact that that is a sinking ship.
Hey, Mike, did you win that bet?
You know, the thing is, sir, I agree with Don that the XFL ratings are going to be in the crapper. And if you saw Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, although I won the bet, that the ratings for that show have trended down after the first of the year.
That's true. And you know what their new gimmick is? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire rock stars.
I saw they're going to have, like, Lars from Metallica on.
Terrible.
And they're going to have one of those fags from NSYNC on.
I mean, I see that now. I see Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I just have no intention of doing it. Except, of course, when Rob's episode runs.
Thank you. Sir, listen, face it. I got news for you. You know what I am? I'm a sage. I'm a seer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a prognosticator.
Punxsutawney Donnie.
I can foretell the future. I know it. The XFL will not be a viable commercial success.
Okay.
Thank you.
You guys have a good day.
Goodbye.
And furthermore, I want to tell you something. The next booger that you enjoy will be the tastiest one you've eaten today.
Ooh, that's scary. Scary how you can do that. You have powers. Yeah. Special powers.
I know that.
You know, and later on, what am I talking about? 30 seconds from now, he'll go, he was right.
That is one tasty booger.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you, my friend. Don't take it so personal.
Okay, no, nothing's personal.
Right.
I enjoy football. Right. I've never watched bad football than no football.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I didn't like him.
There he goes. There
he goes. Wow, that was a long first break.
Well, it was because of that last guy there. We all really don't like somebody.
I mean, if it was good football, I'd tell you, hey, good football. No one would like to have football on year-round more than me.
That basically ignores me for the whole comment.
Hey, Matt, you win that bet?
Well, you know what? I was a couple months off, but I was right about that millionaire thing, too.
That piece of crap is a dying dinosaur.
That's right.
On the way out. Jesus Christ, show got beat by that fag Will and Grace on Thursday night.
The only thing I'm right about is going to happen in October.
What's that?
When the Boston Red Sox go to the World Series. And you know something? Get ready for that all year because you know I can't back out of it, so I might as well enjoy the ride.
Hey, look. Let's try to give away $500 right now. Secret song number 4. Good luck. 877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller.
Number 1. Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
This is Tom Baudet. What you see is what you get with females for hire.
They're off the hook. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, we got a busy week this week on the show.
All right.
We're going to look at the pictures of Mad Dog.
Good.
From Survivor.
She's my favorite.
And I don't know if she's coming in this week or calling the show, but we're going to have her on, find out all about her. Tomorrow, Mike, we'll be playing Dead or Alive when Buddy Ebsen joins us.
Boy, that's exciting. The real Buddy Ebsen?
The last time we had him on the show, I'm positive, as nice a man as he was.
We figured that he wasn't... Yeah, that might have been the last time we talked to him.
He's beating the odds.
I'll remember to bring in a small hand mirror.
Didn't he have a cold the last time?
Yeah, he tried to back out.
Israel is a powerful man.
Yep, he can hold the mirror under his nose, make sure he's breathing.
Buddy Ebsen tomorrow. Also tomorrow, Match Game 2000. We'll be playing Match Game 2000 tomorrow with the Kiss My Bumper guy.
Kiss my bumper. Just kiss it.
Great. Also this week, June Lockhart.
Oh, I know you have a history with her.
That's right. I gave her the old tonguey and the mouthy. And that's an in-studio one. So that'll be an interesting reunion. With everybody's favorite TV mom.
Sexual engine. Yeah, I'll be vacating this studio during the commercials.
June Lockhart. Plus, we'll be doing lots of NBA All-Star Game stuff since the game is in D.C. this weekend.
Very good.
Tickets and party stuff and stuff like that to give away. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi, am I caller 100?
Yes, you sure are. What's your name?
Donna Lance.
Hi, Donna, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Two Rivers, Wisconsin.
All right, Donna, all from Wisconsin, listen there.
Oh, yes.
How about that Chewy?
Yeah, I know. It's
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, so happy.
Yeah, that's real lucky for him then.
Yeah, we were so glad he got off.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
That justice
yeah.
prevails then.
All for Chewy. Well, listen then, let me give you, here you go. Wisconsin listeners only. You've won a loving couple Monkey Gram from Worldwide Monkey Gram. You want a male monkey and a female monkey and a box of chocolate truffles.
Oh, cool.
You see, I told you. That's why it says just for Wisconsin listeners.
Yes, I am a monkey lover.
Send a worldwide monkey gram today by calling 1-800-858-5101. Okay, now, $500 online, secret song number 4. A duo
yes.
means more than one singer. A top 10 hit. From the 1980s. Give us title and artist and you win the money. Are you ready?
Sure.
Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Christina Aguilera.
Hey, there you go. Look at you.
I hope I have the song right. It might be the...
Look album. At you, Mr. 21st Century.
I'm not sure, though. I could be dead wrong. Please don't mock me if I've got the wrong song.
We wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
Yeah, I heard that blaring at all the XFL games this weekend, in between timeouts and stuff.
Right.
Great song it is. The money we're giving away, sponsored by our friends across the hall at Main Street Title.
Say my name, say my name.
Yeah.
Say my name, say my name.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was in the top 40 a little bit.
Oh, God damn. For $500. What's that song?
Oh, you got to remember, I'm from Wisconsin now.
Yeah.
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 Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Smoke on the water. That's all I got on my brain.
Smoke on the water. No. 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 First, that was by Deep Purple, and that was out in the 70s.
Hey.
Down. What? Yeah?
Yeah.
Greatest days of my life was the day I found this a long version of Smoke on the Water.
Oh, wow.
That the version that I was hearing on the radio was just the right. top 40 version.
Yeah, I mean, the long version's huge.
Kicks ass. Well, listen there. Hope you enjoy your monkey grom.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
All right. Don't go in the bathroom with Chewy.
Oh, no, hell no.
No, hell no. All right, Wheel of the Girl who has the yearbook picture of Mad Dog from Survivor.
I think she might have been a friend of Mad Dog's based on, you know, my look at her in the lobby. I think there's a good chance she might have been a friend.
Really? Do you think she's a gay?
I don't know. I don't know whether she's a gay. It's hard to tell. She might be, though.
All right, well, listen. Mad Dog, the old broad who took her teeth out on Survivor.
Marilyn Hershey. Yeah.
She's our favorite. She's coming by the show this week because she's from the Washington, D.C. area. She's a retired...
No, I just saw him again. No way.
A retired D.C. cop.
All right.
Okay.
So these pictures will be at least 33 years old.
Okay. Hello there. Hi, girls. Hi, come
on. Hi, ladies. I just wanted to say before everybody decided to call us, I know that was not Christina Aguilera that Mike was doing. It was Destiny's Child.
Yeah, okay, right. See, I didn't know.
Say my name, say my name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. See, I blew it. Give me, you know, I'll listen harder next time. But I knew it was a female artist with a contemporary.
Hey, his confidence is so fragile right now. Please.
You know, with all the the conflicting impressions and stuff, Charlie, you know what? That's one I really would like to be insulated
from. Christina Aguilera's come on over, baby.
Will you be playing the contest again?
Yes.
Ha! You got it.
Or how about this one? What a girl wants.
What a girl needs. Yeah. There you go. All right, fantastic.
Gotcha. Hi, girls. What are your names, please?
I'm Jeannie.
Virgil.
Yeah, can you talk right into the mic, please?
Virgil.
Virgil? Hi there, girl.
That's an interesting name. Virgil?
Well, you know.
Is that your name, your birth
name?
Tell
him how you got the name. This is a great story.
All right.
This guy named Desmond Child, who is also Ricky Martin's producer, went to school with me, and we were songwriting partners, and he had this really mundane name, so I renamed him Desmond Child, and he named me Virgil.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Good story. Yeah. I like that story.
It is a good story. If you don't mind, right out of the street, let me ask you, are you girls in the life?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I got Gadar that is razor
sharp. It's not so obvious. Saying it on the air before. Look, there they are. Yeah, they've been watching us across.
Give me a little credit here.
It's the haircut. Is that Mike?
Yeah, let me tell you, I did not look at that. You guys saw me go out through the lobby. I did not look directly at you, so it was all with peripheral vision, so I think I get a little credit on that.
But give me a little credit. I saw you and I said, he is not a lesbian.
Okay. And you are dead wrong.
Are you lovers?
Years ago, for 9 years.
Former. Oh, you see, you had a thing, but you were able to remain friends.
Well, we're musicians.
Now, who did we talk to?
Business together.
Who did we talk to on the air the other day?
That's me.
And you had said that you theorized that Mad Dog, who's on Survivor now, was probably in the life, right?
Yeah. What I didn't tell you, she lived across the street from me.
Right. Yeah.
And we played Christopher Columbus in her backyard. You know, you build stuff and.
Okay.
But she was really neat and very. Very attractive and.
You ever play that Chinese game with her?
Never did. No.
Lick a lot of puss?
No. I didn't have anything to do
Virgil
with any of that till my 20s.
Virgil's not laughing into the microphone, but she enjoyed that when she did like
kind of like Chinese checkers.
But I think she, you know, I saw her on Survivor and went, oh my God, that can't be Marilyn Hershey.
All right, let's see the picture. Now, what are you excited
about seeing this?
What year is
like,
this is a junior year first.
So what year are we looking at?
Well, this is her junior year.
I mean, but what calendar year would this be? 19?
Her junior
Her junior year.
1966 was her junior year.
Very good. Okay.
Point her out. They're small.
That's a big class for 66.
And now I can't find her.
Would you girls remember her? I mean, obviously you do. Would she remember you, I guess, is my question.
She wouldn't remember me, because I'm only...
Oh, yeah. Moral. Yeah, you know her. Yeah, absolutely. No, you absolutely don't.
Pass it over, Mike.
There she is. She's right.
I can ask her when she comes on.
She's either going to call or she's going to come in. Yeah, she's cute.
Yeah.
She looked a little like Olivia Newton-John in high school.
Absolutely, yeah.
And Meg Ryan, I thought.
Yes. Is there another picture of her?
This is her in a play with another girl. She looks like she doesn't have her teeth in.
Yeah.
But she's a hottie.
Absolutely.
But here's the kicker.
Okay. Oh, yes, absolutely. That's the best picture yet.
I'll do her.
That is the best picture yet.
Go back.
Hold on, let me find her here. Hershey. Where am I looking, Robbie?
Up at the top.
Oh, that's the best picture yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, good call.
Wow.
Yeah.
And conversely, find me your picture in here so I can compare.
I knew you were going to do that.
So I can compare and see how hot you were in high school.
All right, fantastic.
All right.
Both of you girls.
Find sophomore. Here. It must have been a...
Look yourselves up.
You're not going to find me.
Are you classmates? So you both went to school?
No, I was busy dropping out of a Miami Beach high school.
All right. Hey, where are you?
Cute.
Where are you? Right here.
Ah, very good.
Let me see.
This is the Beatles, so I kind of have
No, very, very, very good.
Very good. All right, she is right here. This one right here.
This one's right. Awful. Don't show them this one.
Okay, well. Oh, please.
Only if you find it. Only for you guys.
Okay.
Find me with so much pleasure.
Oh, you look loose.
Hey, I have Bobby Brooks clothes on, huh?
And all the girls, you look like one who might give it up. Jesus, look at this, Mike. Hardly. That's a man right there.
Yeah, I mean, there's some. You know what? There's some bad eyeglasses in that yearbook too.
Think of the year.
Yeah, 66.
All right.
Yeah,
you girl, and look at the name of the yearbook.
The Blade.
Now I had something goofy going on here with the hair, but.
Yeah, that's not as good a picture, but it's not that goofy. It looked like you had the little tennis sweater going there.
Yeah, I played tennis.
All right. Pass her over, Mike.
I
wore those kind of sweaters.
Yeah.
I remember that. All right.
That's awful.
Right there.
Nice there.
Okay.
I got it.
That was the big rage back then. I remember that.
Well, I said before I went to get the picture done, I said, I think I'll just flip this under.
And you regretted it ever since. Yeah.
You're hot.
Yeah.
Because girls are hot back in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so cool. It's very cool to see Mad Dog on Survivor.
Now, Mad Dog, does that mean that Meg Ryan or perhaps Olivia Newton-John 30 years from now is going to look like that?
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
I mean, was she as big boned as she appears?
No. She was very petite. And I saw her not long. In fact, a friend of mine from school saw her downtown. And she was walking across the street, and she was stopping traffic. She had high boots on and slim, and I mean,
because she doesn't. It's not all
high fashion.
It's not like weight. She looks like she's always, but seeing her on Survivor, she looks like she's always been a large woman. So I mean, it's very difficult to picture her looking like that. But she is a hottie in 1966.
I remember being very tall. You know, everything I always wanted to be.
And even back there, and even back then in 66, did you kind of have a...
I had no idea about myself.
Oh, you didn't know about yourself yet. Okay, all right, okay. You only discovered that later. Because, you know, sometimes, some people, it's right from the very beginning where it's just, you know, hey, all right, you want to come over? Want to sleep over?
Do you think she's sampled man meat?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think she might be bi?
You can sue me for this, can't you?
No. You're theorizing and she's a public figure.
Does she have a daughter? I don't know.
What was that, Virgil?
Daughter other than...
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I couldn't hear what Virgil said.
But Virgil was saying, does she have a daughter? She might have a daughter, so she might have been...
He had either a daughter or kids, because someone said, oh, her daughter's as hot as she was in high school.
And we haven't established the fact, we haven't established the fact that she's a card-carrying lesbian yet.
I'm still not giving that up.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, of course not. Not on this show.
It's a gay and lesbian-friendly show.
The rest of that bigoted world out there you have to worry about, that's for sure. This show right here, we love Homo Joe, but we love lesbians.
Of course we do.
I mean, we it's great having Homo Joe on the show, but we love lesbians.
Yeah, but
can we do a shout-out to Cheryl? Lipstick lesbian.
Hi, Cheryl.
You know Cheryl the big guy?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows Cheryl the big guy.
That's a good point. Right there. No, we don't love lipstick lesbians. We love all lesbians. We like lesbians that call, that participate in our games here. We like that.
How about a kiss? How about you girls kiss each other?
No. I'll send a kiss out to my honey. Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine. Virgil, you got a honey?
Kissing.
Virgil, do you have a honey you'd like to say hi to?
Stacy.
Ah, they're both
Stacy.
Stacy. All right, very good.
Get out of here, girl.
Can I tell you one more thing?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
We were the gay gospel band that Cheryl was telling you about.
The gay gospel band.
That's like an oxymoron, and I said he's insulting us. We're the rhythm section.
Very cool.
Excellent.
Well, good. Very nice to meet both of you girls.
Likewise.
Thank you for the pictures. Make sure you leave your name to Charlie, because when Mad Dog comes in, we'll ask her if she remembers you.
Cool. Leave our pictures?
No, leave your names.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got you.
All right, so gay and into God.
And health.
Two of the most peaceful women I've ever met in my life.
Thank
very
you.
Nice. Thank you, girls.
Thanks.
Take care.
Right, thanks for coming by.
See you later.
Very nice.
And grow your hair longer.
No, they said.
Just grow your hair out a little bit.
For you.
Just a touch more feminine.
The first lady comes in and says, yeah, way to go. Like you really couldn't tell.
Well, I couldn't. I saw, you know, it's peripheral vision.
Stevie Wonder's on the phone. He knew that they were gay.
I know.
Well, her point was well taken. Mm-hmm. That what's her real name on the show? What's her name?
Marilyn
Hershey. Marilyn was a hottie.
Back in the day.
You better believe it.
I'm telling you, like, you read the movie Grease with Olivia Newton-John?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what that babe looked like back in high school.
Because in 66, I mean, if you saw most of those pictures in there, it's hard to look good back then.
Yeah, she was very doable.
Absolutely.
Very doable.
Back when they used to have those kitty cat eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right?
Oh, like Lisa Loeb glasses.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
Not as sharp as these glasses that I'm wearing now.
I gave Mike a hard time when he came in the office today. I said, it's not even sunny out. Mm-hmm. And you're wearing sunglasses. That's his new thing now.
Those are yellow-tinted sunglasses. You can wear them indoors.
They're not yellow-tinted, though.
Dark amber.
Brandy-tinted.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was on Court TV this weekend?
What?
The Rockford Files.
Oh, yeah, your James Garner glasses.
Yeah. I'm keeping them on. I don't care what anybody says.
Thank you to both those gals. Well, now we'll have a point of reference when Mad Dog comes in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we make sure we get their names down so that we can mention they came in the show.
To talk about Survivor.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And we'll find out.
Yeah.
About old Mad Dog.
I'm sure we will.
Red door. I told you that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I told you. And you know what you said to me? You said,
oh, poor you.
Hello, Don, on Mike's show.
Hello, Don.
What?
Yeah, are you going to have anything in Greenville soon?
Oh, Greenville. This week, Westwood One is working on that. This week, we'll be back in Greenville.
Oh, that's great. You don't have
guaranteed.
How about the call letters?
Print it.
I don't know the call letters.
Oh, okay. Where's the sheet run? Is it AM, Don?
Pardon me?
Is it AM?
No, it's hopefully going to be FM.
Oh, great.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, we're still getting tons of phone calls from Greenville.
Sure. I sure hope they can work that out.
And I believe that Charles Broyhill spoke to a couple of the TV stations.
Did he really?
Cool. Yeah.
Well, isn't that a great thing for our image down there?
I'm pretty sure in the news reports that it was our publicity picture and that it was on phone, Charles Broyhill. And I think he also spoke on our behalf to the newspapers as well.
Cool. When reached for comment, Donna Mike's producer simply said, me no make comment.
Clink, grunt, click, grunt. Okay, hold on. I think he's got Leah coming up. And if not, I got plenty of weekend stuff to tell you about. I know you do too. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
You in the building?
Yeah, I just moved in Monday.
Oh. You like it so far?
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been real nice.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Oh.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well, Rob just peed his pants.
They called.
The millionaire people just called.
They're on the line with him right now. We're not sure exactly what the deal is. We're going to find out momentarily.
What do they want, Charlie? Do you know? Are you talking to someone now? Just leave a message? He's just talking, shaking his head, scratching himself. What did the millionaire people say? Because Rob's not here in the studio with us now.
They said, Rob Spiewak, please. I said, okay. That was it.
That's exciting. And that was it. And you told that story beautifully.
Thank you.
You really did.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for helping.
Thank you. You're freaking Garrison Keillory. Thank you very much.
That's right. The Prairie Home Companion right here in our studio.
Here is the hotline. Hello.
Hi, it's Rob. How are you?
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob. I'm not allowed to leave the phone, but I wanted to tell you what happened.
Okay, great.
Is Scott Braxton made the hot seat?
Wow.
And now I'm supposed to wait by this phone and answer it if they call me.
And you're recording everything, right?
I'm sorry?
Are you recording everything?
Well, I'm not recording anything. No, I'm recording what it airs.
He's back in the producer's room.
Okay.
And so I have to let it ring three times. If it rings, he'll also call me if he screws up or if he calls someone else as a lifeline, so I'll know when I'm off the hook.
Have you talked to this guy to ask him to make you the first choice as a lifeline?
No, he was... I spoke to him just like for 5 seconds on Friday and gave him the number and everything, and he said he would call
me. Can you get a handheld tape recorder to hear at least Rob's side of this when it happens?
They said I can't even do that.
Oh, all right.
Well,
sorry about that.
Come on, you can certainly tape yourself having a phone conversation.
I asked specifically, and they said no.
Well, you know what? F them.
Well, I don't want to screw up Scott Braxton's chances.
What's the legality in that where you're holding a telephone... And all you hear is you speaking. They've got there's no jurisdiction over that.
No, there is no. Not that I would see at all.
No, get him set up with Charlie, will you get him set up with a tape recorder back there?
Yeah. I'll take care of it. I've got one at my desk.
Well, no, don't leave your post.
Yeah, because, I mean, this to me is the overwhelming odds thing that has happened.
Much closer.
That he made it to the hot seat. That's huge.
All right, so listen, let's practice. Mike, you have some stupid question for him, and I want to hear him.
Quit it, Charlie. Jerk.
Oh, that was Charlie yelling.
I don't know how gay that was because I have his headset on, so he had to like almost get like cheek to cheek with me to do that.
Right. I want to see how.
What's an altogether bet?
I want to see how Rob's going to work our names in. Okay.
Okay. So the phone rings. It rings three times, and I say, "Don and Mike Show."
Hi, this is Regis Philbin from ABC Television's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Regis, good to hear from you. What's up?
We got your pal here. He's called you for a lifeline. Are you good friends with him?
Actually, no. I think he just listens to the radio show I work on, the Don and Mike Show.
Ah, fantastic. Well, fine. Well, then, fine. Don and Mike, they did a... they do a bit all the time about how you're a fag, Regis.
Yeah, you and Gelman.
Didn't the one guy call your voicemail one time?
I don't know anything about that.
Pretend to be you?
I don't know anything about that on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, anyway, what do you think of Kelly Rebo?
Okay, she's hot.
Fantastic.
I bet you'd like to get her in an elevator.
Well, we don't have much time, Rob. We've got the guy here, and here's the question.
All right, what is the question?
Rob?
Yes?
Here's the question.
Shoot.
Name one of these baseball teams that will never win a World Series.
Okay.
New York Mets, St. Louis Cardinals, Boston Red Sox, Chicago Cubs.
Well, it's funny you should bring this up, because on the Don and Mike show, we often talk about how the Boston Red Sox will never win a World Series.
I'm sorry, your time's up, and you didn't give them an answer.
I said Red Sox, Regis.
That's ridiculous. You ran out of time, Rob.
You're off the air now, Rob.
Yeah, but I can still hear Regis.
You screwed him. You screwed him to death.
Hey, listen, just make sure that when you do your part, that you answer the phone, Don and Mike show.
Okay.
And that when you answer the question, and please understand where your loyalties are here, boy.
Oh, I hear you.
That when you answer the question, you say, I was discussing this very topic with my friends Don and Mike just moments ago.
Okie doke.
No matter what the subject matter is.
Okay.
All right, beautiful.
Very good, then.
All right, feel no pressure.
Well, then, fine.
And do you have a tape recorder there?
Well, Charlie's getting the Optimus right now.
All right, thank you, Rob.
All right, good day to you.
So now do you have to sit there for the next 3 hours?
Yes. Until he screws up or until he uses another lifeline.
Why didn't you just give him the hotline number so you could just pick it up in the studio?
Because, again, they said that wasn't acceptable.
That would be the easiest thing.
Yeah, I mean, how would they
know you were working in a hot line? No.
No, right. Why didn't you just give him the hotline, and if the hotline ever rang?
Hold on a second. Hold on. I let it ring once. I let it ring twice.
Okay, we can listen to it right now. That's perfect.
But it's a Virginia area code. Hold on. Don and Mike show. Hi, Leah. How are you? It's Rob.
Oh, it's Leah.
Oh, it's Leah. Okay.
How you doing? Hi, Leah. That's Charlie. And Lisa says hi as well.
I'm recording you now.
Because we're getting ready. I'm a lifeline on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Tell her we're going to do a break.
Yes, I have to stand here and look at the phone like a mental patient.
Tell Leah that we're going to do a break and then we'll talk to her.
Yeah, when I don't know the answer, I will feel like a total failure. But yes, of course.
Leah, immediately busting Rob's chops.
Oh, I won't. I'll be very polite about how I handle it, and I'll be...
You know
efficient.
What? We don't need to tape it. This is the way we need to do it.
Yeah, right.
This is the way we do it.
Just keep this line open.
Yeah. I will say the answer, then. Very good. That makes good sense.
He's such a pussy.
Okay.
I mean, really, isn't he? I couldn't give them that number.
I am a little bit, yeah.
I can't. They said I can't tape it.
For this guy, no way, sure what goes on.
Listen to him.
No, I have no idea. All I know is that I'm like his lifeline for...
She's curious.
Like
everybody's curious about
weird
this.
Stuff.
It's exciting.
Because I have a big head full of useless
knowledge.
That's
Charlie giving him a hard time.
But Don and Mike did say they want to do a break before they call you. Can I get a number where they can call you back? And like, oh, Charlie will call you in a few minutes then, if that's okay. Right. You know how long?
Tell them I'll break right now.
Don will break right now, so they'll call you in 6.5 minutes or so.
Right now.
Hey, Rob.
Babe.
Hey, Rob.
Hold on a second.
Rob.
Yes, Don.
Hey.
Yes, Don.
Tell her we're pissed that she went on with that turd Jack Diamond.
Oh, yeah. Don and Mike are pissed that you went on with Jack Diamond this morning. That turd Jack Diamond. They're mad at you. Tell
her that he is a douchebag.
Because he's a douchebag. He's the competition.
No, he's not.
He was.
Yeah.
But it's a feud.
It's a feud.
Well, I don't. You know what? For me, it's them that you need to defend yourself to. So that's just a warning that they're upset.
Just ask me this, Rob. And I love this.
Oh, there's no attitude there. There's no attitude.
It's just prepping Leah for her appearance.
Charlie's bringing in the tape recorder where he was recording Rob.
Hold on. Let's
see how it sounds.
Let's listen to Rob.
But I'll be efficient.
I won't. You know what? I'm not talking to him. You don't.
I'm taping Rob now as a test.
Well, yeah. I will say the answer then. Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen at home, if you're having trouble following the show right now,
Rob is
our
on
apologies.
A, Rob is on the phone.
Oh, no, one call. Certainly not this one. She's great.
Rob is on the phone.
Her
talking.
Name is Julia, and I'll tell you something that is not yet.
Now he's talking about his baby.
Talking about
his
baby.
LIA. So there's a chance that it might be a little.
No,
we don't know yet.
All I know is that I'm like his.
Okay, turn the tape recorder off, Charlie. Too confused. Hey, Rob.
Then it's like you're stuttering. Yes,
Rob.
Hold on.
Just ask her.
Yes?
What she was thinking when she was going down the list of radio stations when she saw Washington, D.C.
What were you thinking when you went down the list of radio stations for your radio tour today and you saw Washington, D.C.? She didn't have a list on it, Mark.
Really?
They just patched her through, she says.
I find that hard to believe.
They wouldn't say you're going on in Houston,
you're going on in Boston, you're going on in Washington.
Going on in D.C. now?
It was 5 in the morning, and she, what the hell does she know, she says. And that's a quote. No attitude.
Tell her our feelings are very hurt. Rob?
She would like to tell you that you are great in comparison to the 15 personalities that she had to deal with.
Ask her if she remembers being on Jack Diamond's show in particular.
Do you remember in particular being on the Jack Diamond program? She doesn't.
Jack and Bert?
Jack and Bert morning show?
Yes, we have
called. She has no recollection.
Tell her, unless she remembers some real bad stuff to say about them.
Do you have anything bad to say about them? She would like to know if you could remind her about anything that happened in the conversation.
Is this the same line they're calling you on the Millionaire Show?
Yeah, but there's call waiting.
Oh, okay.
That would be all right. They just said this was the same line the Millionaire was using.
Yeah.
It is. And now she tells you to relax.
Oh, tell her I'm anything but relaxed.
Don is anything but relaxed.
And so is Mike.
And Mike is just off the wall.
I'm crying.
He's crying. Because of the whole Jack Diamond thing, this has not been a good day for them.
Tell her I'm crying like Christina Crawford.
Do you have...
See, Rob is the worst person to put...
This is driving me insane. This is driving me insane.
Rob...
She doesn't have any recollection of what the interview was.
Okay.
She doesn't remember.
Hold on. Well, you know what? Fortunately, me and Mike heard it, so we'll be able to bring her up to speed.
She'd love to badmouth Jack and Bert, but she has no recollection.
Will she be able to speak with us in 6.5 minutes?
Yes, she will. And I need to go because the call waiting is ringing.
Oh! Ooh. All right, well, then go. Tell Leah to call back at 6.
I will.
All right. Do it now and let me hear the call waiting. Who's calling?
There's no one there. There was no one there after the call waiting. There's no one there. I hope it was Millionaire. If it was, I hope they call back.
Well, how do you know there was no one there? I didn't hear you say hello.
Because I picked up the phone, and before I could say hello, there was a dial tone. But Leah will be calling back, or Charlie will.
Why is Leah calling on the same line?
Because that's the line for the producer's room.
Why didn't you use the hotline?
Okay.
Why didn't you just use the hotline for the Millionaire show?
Well, I didn't want to give the listener the hotline number. That was one reason, and also I knew this would...
Well, come on. Everybody's got the hotline number. All the people I call up and yell at.
Rob, you don't think that might have been your only chance, do you?
I hope not. Maybe they'll give me another shot.
Maybe it wasn't even the Millionaire people calling.
I doubt it was, because they said to wait, let it ring 3 times, and I only got one beep beep of call waiting.
Yeah, but beep beep on call waiting is not like a ring. It's not like every time you're hearing a dial ring, you know, the ringing sound that it makes the beeping sound.
Does everybody understand the dynamic here? Rob is in the other room waiting for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to call him to be a lifeline.
Right.
Meanwhile, Leah Remini's calling on the exact same telephone. So I guess we should get off the line now with you.
Well, no, I mean, this line isn't...
Hey, Rob, why don't you just call the Millionaire people and ask them if they tried to call you?
I will do that right now.
Will you?
Yes, I will. Hold on one sec.
Good, let me hear that.
I'm dialing right now. Let me find the number. Okay.
They did give you a number to call in case there was a problem?
Well, this was a number to call earlier. I can't imagine it would have changed.
Oh, good. Just
tell them you had another call.
To tell them it was an emergency.
And you don't know if they wanted you as a lifeline.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rob Under Pressure.
This is tense.
This is exciting, isn't it?
On my show.
It's ringing right now, but they're not picking up.
Oh boy, you could just stick right for rules.
Oh, hi.
If they told him that he had to do this with his thumb up his ass, he'd do it. Sit in a room by himself.
I might not.
Yes, you would have.
This is the voicemail of the lady. Hi, Gina. It's Rob in Washington, D.C., Peter Braxton's lifeline, and there was just an emergency call that I couldn't get away from right away, and I missed a call waiting, and I hope it wasn't you guys. And this is the only number I had to get to you, so if he's still on the hot seat, please give me a call. I'll be as smart as I can. Thank you, and goodbye.
Perfect.
That's it.
He is so Rob, eh? All right.
I can only be what I am, fellas.
I know. Good luck, boy.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hi.
Hang up, Rob.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right, the freaking madhouse around here today.
All right.
And we'll talk to Leah in just a moment.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in its room, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right.
I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
No daft pricks allowed. The Don and Mike Show.
As we get closer to Valentine's Day, later this week we're giving away diamond earrings from Mervis Diamond Importers.
What lady doesn't like a diamond?
Valued at $1,000. Go to online, www.mervisdiamond.com, and we thank them for the $1,000 set of diamond earrings that we will give away later this week.
Who was that that gave them to us? Was it Ronnie or Jeb?
I don't know. I can't get those boys. You know, they're like twin sons of
right.
different mothers.
And there's Tito Mervis.
You got Leah on the phone?
Yes, I do.
Line 5. All right, well, let me play her in, please.
All right, here she comes now. She plays the feisty, outspoken wife for the King of Queens, making her the Queen of Queens.
I love her.
Here's Leah Remini. Here she is, yeah.
Here she is. Hey there.
Are you mad at me?
Hey, Benedict Arnold, how you doing?
Oh,
hey, hi.
Hi, Leah.
First of all, let me ask you a question.
You must be exhausted.
I was up at 4:45 in the morning. This is after going to bed at 1.
You're too big a star to have to do those morning shows.
Well, listen, they call me. They go, CBS wants you to do the satellite thing. Kevin's done it and everything. I go, oh, all right. Because a lot of times I go, did Kevin do it? Or is Kevin, you know, because usually if Kevin doesn't do it, I don't want to do it, you know?
She was on a telephone, though, on Harvey's show.
What?
Was it a telephone or a satellite thing? And when you're saying satellite, you mean you just did a lot of phone calls or what?
Well, it's like they patch you in. The CBS representative patches you in to these people. So you're on hold and they go, okay, here you go.
Oh, okay, so you're just sitting, you did this at home?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So I go, okay, well, meanwhile, I find out that Kevin did it, like, last year. So that's, like, one piece of the pie that was missing. But anyway, when I tell you that I talked to 15 people, like 15 radio stations.
Right, yes.
And I was so upset after it. I called my sister. I was almost in tears. Because a lot of these people, do you want me to go through the ridiculousness of what I was, and I wish
sure.
that somebody could remember, or somebody would call in and go, yes, I heard you, this is what you talked about.
Oh, well, no, Mike and I will tell you, we heard you on this douchebag show today.
All right, well, tell me, what did he ask me?
Okay, he was talking about, first off, it's two guys, like, one of them's like this Jack Dyer, but...
And the other guy's like this. Hey, how you doing? This must really be a good role for you.
Okay.
And he wanted to drop the fact that, hey, we've had Kevin's brother on the show many times.
Oh, right. Okay. So he goes, why don't you have more of him on the show? I said, yeah, why?
I remember that. I heard that.
This is... I go, yeah, you just want him to come on your show again.
This is a disc jockey, just so you have some background on it, that we have hated for 10 years.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Not like fake hate.
Real hate.
Real hate.
Had a real feud going with him.
Well, you should tell me these things.
Yeah, I guess we should give you, like, all of our hated people.
Yeah, but
you should always tell me who you hate, because then I'll either go on and say, by the way, my best friends in the world are Don and Mike.
See, because
I'm
sure the only reason when he got the thing from CBS, the PR thing, he said, oh, you know, I'm sure he was thinking.
Oh, I know he was.
Leah Remini's on Don and Mike all the time.
Oh, I know he was.
This would be a great way to shove it up the ass.
Absolutely.
Oh, you should have told me.
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't know. We didn't know. And you didn't know either, in fairness.
No, but I'm saying, in general, you should tell me who you hate. Like, talk show people, radio people, whatever, things that I might do, because then I could abuse them, at least.
That would be, you know, it would be great if we had that inside knowledge. You know, it's not like he's competition, it's just we hate him.
Oh, and listen, here's the one
thing.
And
that's what you have to remember. No. I was so upset because when I called my sister, I said, you know what, Nick, it's like when I talk to Don and Mike, even the first time I talked to you guys, you really stood out. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I'm not bull. You know, crapping you now. I'm really serious. You really stood out, and I think that's why we've remained friends, because I don't have one other friend that I ever talked to on the radio, because I swear to God, there is no talent. I was so upset by the end of these phone calls that I told the girl who was in charge, I said, never again.
But at least didn't they say to you, okay, now you're going to go on in Boston. Now you're going on in Houston. Now you're going on in D.C.
Yeah, sometimes she did that, and then sometimes she went, all right, this is a morning crew. Their names are blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. We're running late, so I'm going to connect you right in.
Well,
she didn't always say the city or the, you know what I mean?
What did he say? Because we listened to it. What did he say after that.
He gave Lee a little dig, this jerk. And he was doing that because he knows you're a friend of ours. Right. I know that.
Wait, what did he say? What did he say?
Okay, so you gave him a good story about falling down.
You were your usual, even at 5 o'clock in the morning, you were your usual self, where you're a great interview because you will say something, and, you know, you can talk, and they were just, they could not have been more vacuous.
You hang up the phone, and there's silence, and Harvey, Jack Diamond, the main disc jockey, he goes, well, that was interesting. Took her a little while to get up to speed.
Yeah, and it was...
Wait a minute, what?
That's what he said. That is what he said.
He said it took me a while to get up to speed?
Yeah, he's like this milquetoast wimp, and that's his way of digging. And I know he did... Leah, it didn't take you a while to get up to speed. He did it because we know... That he was doing it to get to us.
So now publicly,
it took me a while to get up to speed. I'm going to call him now and go, took me a while. Are you out of your mind?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Just think about the interview that you did. And I know that all 15 of them run together. But
right.
Think about the time that you spent with the disc jockey who wanted to talk about Kevin's brother.
Right.
And now tell us in your own words... Oh, you hate that son of a bitch.
I'm glad you reminded me, because I was thinking, as he was talking about Kevin's brother, I was going, what a schmuck.
Right.
Yes, what
right.
an idiot. He's going to take this time to pitch Kevin's brother on the show?
No, that's
right. You know what I'm saying? How stupid are you?
Very good.
That's Harvey.
Yeah,
let me tell you something. I was telling Charlie this morning. 15, and what do you say, 3 each for a morning crew, 2 at least?
Right.
Couldn't stand up to your pinkies. I mean, they have zero personality. They don't know what the hell they were talking about. One guy was talking about, how about that Jerry Stiller? What's the old guy's name? What's his name? I go, who, Jerry Stiller from Seinfeld? Is that who you're talking about? Yeah. Hey, do your ears hurt from him yelling all the time?
I love to laugh.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, isn't there? There's a lot of that. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, you know, picture how we feel, Leah, when we go like to some place like the Super Bowl and they put us on this thing called Radio Row, where there were how many radio stations there?
80 stations.
80 stations in one row, and we are surrounded by this all day long. It's, we're not...
I don't know how you do it.
We're not proud of being in that fraternity.
You guys are so good at what you do. I just can't... You got to be huge, because these idiots, 15 cities, and not one of them asked an interesting question. I would rather talk about my period than talk about the ridiculousness that was coming out of their mouth. This one girl goes, if you were stranded on an if you had to go on any CBS show, this was Minneapolis, what would it be? I go, what, CBS show? What, I want a guest cast on? Is that what you're asking me? Yeah, if you could do any show.
Oh, and I know the other thing that Harvey said about her.
I don't know. She goes, but that's Survivor. Would you want to do a guest spot on Survivor? Why? Why would I? So what? So I can eat maggots? I mean, why would I want to do that, sweetie? And then she goes, well, doesn't Doug eat weird things every week on the show?
All right, here's
hello.
Listen, now, I just remember the other comment that Harvey made about you when you were off.
What?
Hey, yeah, she mentioned that she was up for a role on Friends. How do you think...
I didn't mention it. That idiot mentioned it.
How do you think she would have worked out? I don't think she's not nice enough. She's too New York.
Are you joking me?
No. Why would I lie to you about that?
Hey.
I heard it myself.
Let's call them right now.
We can't. They do a morning show.
They do a morning show.
Crap! Let's do it in the morning.
They'd never put us on.
Why?
Because he knows, we're his enemies. We're his mortal enemies.
Okay, but why don't I call and say, you know what? I heard some things you said about me.
Leah, I know you do that, and I'll tell you why. Because they already know that this conversation, they listen to every day.
He's listening right now.
He's listening right
now.
So
then I could say this. Don and Mike rock. They have talent. You guys suck.
Say it by his name, though. Jack Diamond.
Jack Diamond sucks. Okay?
Thank you. Very
sucks.
Nice. You know,
for the interview, if you can call it that. Sucks.
Boy, you really are the company person, though. They're working you to death.
Okay, but do you see my pain? So when I heard you admitted me, I was like, what?
She's very upset.
Yeah. Well,
she's very upset.
You know, we're very territorial. I mean, if we were animals, we would urinate on you because we like to think of, you know, you're a part of the show.
But I am. And this just proves it. I mean, I can't even believe the questions. I can't even believe it.
Well, that's good.
I don't even know what. Jay Thomas, he didn't even know. He went, we got blank.
All right, I'm going to tell you someone else who we don't hate.
Yeah.
And we're having a minor feud with him right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just getting to the name-calling stage on both sides.
Absolutely.
Rick Dees.
Rick Dees, he has just signed on here in Washington, D.C. We've done a lot of talking about his horrible radio show, and he's given us some digs, like saying, you know, mean things about us. It's just at the beginning stages, but he falls into the enemy camp.
Enemy of the show.
Right, enemy of the show.
Now, let me ask you a question.
You don't go on his show regularly, do you?
No. I did it once before I even knew you. But listen to me.
Yeah?
So if I was to ever do that show, should I do it and bring you up or not do it at all?
It's much better she goes on and brings us up.
I mean, if you were to go on Rick Dees and say, Rick, you know, your show is okay, but God, it doesn't compare to the Donald Mike show.
I couldn't say that, but I could say this. I mean, that would be reality. That is the truth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Having you on the show and mentioning our names is infinitely more.
But I could say something like this. I could say, you know what? I heard that you and Don and Mike have some issues. Does that ring a bell? And he'll go, oh, yeah, blah, blah, and I'll go, okay. Those are my best friends.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. They won't be able to. The guys like Rick Dees, Jack Diamond, they can't handle that stuff.
No, because you're bringing up something that's real. And I'm sure if he didn't delete it out, he would just, you know, go to his wacky clown horn or whatever.
Right.
Hey, our guest is Leo Remedy. Good morning.
Oh, don't worry about that. Let's change the subject. How have you been?
Yeah.
How
really?
Have you been?
He wouldn't say, well, this is the way I feel about them.
No. And to be honest, with Rick Dees, it's not a deep-seated hatred. I mean,
no, it's a fun thing.
When I worked out there 20 years ago, I worked with a guy. He was not a friend, but he was an acquaintance. It's it's not a deep-seated hatred with Rick Dees. It's to the name-calling stage back and forth. But this guy,
you know what though? You guys don't need to do that.
Oh yes, we do.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
Because you don't understand how talented you are.
Oh, but
people are obviously threatened by.
But haven't you? I mean, isn't our pettiness, Leah? Isn't that one of the things that makes us charming?
That's true.
Yeah, thank you.
We can't.
I thought you'd see that.
It's a part of us. And this guy Harvey, the guy whose show you're on today, his name is Jack Diamond. He uses a fake name like I do, but his real name is Harvey Fisher.
No, I have. I have a long history with him.
Okay.
I worked with him during my young days in radio, and he came into a production studio when a lot of the disc jockeys didn't like working for him because he was such a prick.
Right.
And he came into the production studio one day when I was doing a commercial, and he points at me. I had this little pinky ring, and he points at me, and he says, hey, listen, if you backstab me, I'm going to tell you right now, I won't just blackball your career. My revenge will be sweeter than that.
Shut up.
Yes, I swear. Leah, I quote it. Well, that's 20 years ago. I quote it like it happened yesterday because I'll never forget.
You know, it just kills me. You know, it just kills me. People are just not nice, and I don't like to see people who are evil succeed. You know what I mean? That's not nice.
Let me tell you, he's a middle-aged man like we are. So he drives a Corvette. He's got a freaking ponytail.
He's
got all the jewelry. Now, listen,
you had me at Corvette.
He's,
you had me at Corvette.
He's one of these guys.
Baby,
you know,
no.
You know, he hears me put Frida on the air and put Bart on the air. So he starts putting his wife and his kids on the air. I go, well, you know, all right. Let's take the bit and do it.
But he's flattering you by stealing from him.
Hold on. The difference is, he walks out on his family to marry a girl who's 20 years younger than him, who was a tambourine player in his disc jockey band. And the reason we know this is that he spins it on the air.
He spins it in such a way that, you know, everything's A-OK. You know, listen, Pam, my ex-wife, and my new lady, they're just best friends. Everybody's just, you know, and he does this whole BS thing where everything is just OK and it's perfectly normal and acceptable.
I'm sure if we got the wife on the phone, it would be a different story.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, the wife used to be on the phone until he started banging the tambourine player.
No, but I'm saying, if they were so perfect, why don't we get a little airtime with the both of them, see how friendly they are.
Exactly. And when he started doing this again, that's when we kind of... We became interested in again because he was just such a hypocrite. It was fun to listen
to. Keep the game going, baby.
Very good.
But I got to tell you, you guys are just, you far surpassed any of these idiots. I'm in San Francisco. Listen to this. I'm talking to San Francisco.
All right.
Are you familiar with these guys?
Tell me the station.
I don't know. They're just the morning people. I have no idea.
What was it? A Z something? Do you know? Z90 something?
Probably. Yeah. It's like Z93 or something like that, right?
Yeah, I know him.
He goes, yeah, my producer says that you, he calls you the queen of failed series or something like that. And he's in the room, the producer. I go, oh, is your producer there? He goes, yeah. I go, and he goes, yeah, hi, Leah. He goes, and you're getting me in trouble now. And I go, meanwhile, what were you doing before this show? He goes, what? I go, what were you doing before this show? I know. You were answering telephones. Were you not? And he goes, oh, you're antagonistic. He just called me the queen of failed TV shows.
So is that like towards the end at least?
Yeah.
Man,
but
so
this
you...
is what I was dealing with all morning.
Never again.
One guy got on Jimmy Goomba or Johnny Goomba in New York and tells me my dress from the People's Choice looked like, so I don't know, bridesmaid's dress. Is this what I'm talking to all day?
Yes, well, you know, they all desperately want to be shock jocks, and generally, the guys, like, when you get booked on a tour like that, they're guys who play records, and they have a smaller amount of time to talk, so they got to fit all of their... quote unquote.
So their thing is to abuse me?
Yeah, shocking stuff in between the records.
That's shocking to put down my dress at the People's Choice and say I look like a bridesmaid's dress? You know what I'm saying?
Who was that? Was that Jay Thomas?
No, this was another morning show in New York.
Was that, hold on, was it Z100? Or was it,
no,
was it
no.
Scott and Todd?
I don't know.
We know so many DJs.
And two guys.
That's Scott and Todd. I bet it was with Kingston's wife.
No, but honey, that's his name, Johnny Goomba.
Oh, Johnny Goomba.
The hell was that?
And two other guys and a girl.
Oh, man.
Were they brothers?
I don't know.
So how long?
I didn't even get that far. All I got to is I said, when I come to New York, let me tell you something, Johnny. You better be on point, head to toe Gucci, because if you're not, I'm going to abuse you and annihilate you on the air.
How long did the total, was your total time commitment to this? Sounds like a bit.
2 hours of this.
Oh, my God.
2 hours of ridiculous stuff.
And now you're at work again today?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
But this is what I've dealt with all morning. And I cannot believe, I'm never doing it again. I am never talking to another, unless we're calling to abuse people.
Hey, I had to ask you, did you see Kevin playing his golf tournament over the weekend?
No, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched him. I felt so bad for him.
Why? Did he suck?
Well, he was on
the Pro-Am,
yeah, at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is really, I mean, just the greatest, like, celebrity Pro-Am in the world. And he's on the tee, and he hit it, and it only went, like, 20 feet off the tee. And he was funny, but, you know, the cameras were all on him and stuff, and I felt for him there for a second.
Why? Because he sucked?
No, it's not that he sucked. It's like,
hold on. If he hit the ball 20 feet, he sucked.
Well, he's an 18 handicap, and I think
any... I don't know.
I think
but
a guy...
he's looking great to me, right? I don't know what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that anybody of his playing ability, they tell you what, you know, what his level is. Anybody could do that at that level, and he just, when the cameras were on him, he had a moment, and he was funny, and I felt for the guy, because, I mean, anybody, that's a lot of pressure to be in that situation.
You should use that to your advantage. You should bust his balls on that.
I should. Well, you know, I'd love to have him play. I'd love to go out and play golf with him sometime. I really would.
Why don't you? When you come out here next, we should take you.
I swear to God, he's totally into it, right? He's into golf.
Oh, beyond.
Yeah, I thought so.
Him and Ray, beyond.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I saw Ray Romano play some
Ray's
in the tournament.
Ray's a little better.
Ray
is a little better. Ray, I think, has been playing a little longer, and he's played in this tournament.
The part that I saw,
is it horrible?
Ray Romano played like a retard.
Well, you know what I hate about that tournament? It's the Pro-Am, so you have amateurs playing with pros. And it's great when you see celebrities like Ray Romano and Kevin James, and you see Clint Eastwood, you see people out there. But then you see... These like rich guys,
CEOs,
these a-holes that are out there that are playing in this thing, and I just get turbo jealous. Like, hey, that was a fantastic shot from Johnny Ricciatore, who plays plays golf 8 days a week.
All right, Leah, hold on, I got a girl on the telephone who saw you when you were on the Regis show.
Okay.
In Las Vegas, are you still there, honey? Peggy.
Hi, Leah. Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Did you hear me give you the shout out, Leah?
Is Leah there?
Leah.
Leah?
Did we lose Leah?
Oh, it was great, though, guys. She gave you a great big smile.
I think somebody called and said that you had done
you're
that.
You're the lady who yelled our names out on Regis?
Yeah. I said, Don and Mike, And then she looked up, she says, what? And I said, Don and Mike. And she got a big old smile and said, yeah, Don and Mike.
That's wonderful. Hold on, let me see if we can get her back on the phone.
Cool.
Hold on.
And I see Rob is back in the studio. Does that mean?
Yeah, what happened, Rob? Did you have your shot on the Millionaire Show?
I am now $1 million richer. No, they called and he used another lifeline for phone a friend other than me, so I was excused. They can't come
What a prick. What a dick.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that guy sucks.
Peter Braxton, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter Braxton of Fairfax.
A-hole.
Oh, man.
God.
After all that, calls our show, hey,
can I use you? So it was just a token thing
right.
to make me be Mr. Big Shot.
Great. Hope he loses.
Did they tell you that he used another? Did he fail?
They didn't. They couldn't tell me.
I'm filled with great rage.
But I know how we can get back at him. None of us can watch on Thursday night.
Oh, no. I want to watch because I want to see the question he used on Phone a Friend
right.
to see if it's a question that you would have known.
I'll tape it.
You know what?
Honestly, if I would have gotten
it. You know, in fairness to the guy, I remember when he was calling, when he was saying, hey, Rob knows a lot about pop culture
right.
and things like that. So I'm sure he categorized his lifelines.
Mm-hmm. But didn't we kind of strong-arm him into...
Not enough. I don't think we did it enough. I really don't think we said, you know, use Rob no matter what. We may have done. I'm not, you know, I don't see how you could let him go without doing that. I think you might have done
that. We said something like, you promise that you use Rob as your first lifeline.
Right.
Well, Ellie, you are so disappointed. I feel bad for you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to start to... Carrie's been after me to call the whatever the line is to try and get on, so I'm going to start trying to get on this
okay.
show.
Okay.
Well, you should just get on yourself before they cancel that stupid show.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get easier now that no one's watching.
Right. All right, what happened to Leah? I guess that's it. She's gone?
She's gone.
God, I mean, 2 hours. Can you imagine making...
I mean, she's on a hit show. She
Hold
shouldn't
on.
Have to do that.
Hold on. I got Leah right here again. Hey, Leah?
Yeah, sorry.
Hi, hold on. Let me find the girl.
All right.
Hey, Peggy?
Yes.
There you are. Hi. Now you're on with Leah.
Hi, Leah.
Hi.
You were great on Regis.
Oh, thank you so much.
And did you hear the shout-out for Don and Mike?
That was you?
Yeah.
Oh, how funny.
Well, you did a great job.
Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. And you're always so funny when you're on with them.
Well, thank you.
Is the show good tonight?
The show?
Your show, Leah.
Yeah,
this
I
is
love it. I think it's a great show tonight.
Okay, we'll be watching.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peggy. Let's give Leah a quick quiz. Leah, do you even know the plot of tonight's King of Queens?
Yes.
Do you know the plot? Do you know the plot of tonight's episode?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's we go to paintball.
I'll say no more.
All right, yes, you pass.
That sounds good.
Rob says that's what it says in the newspaper.
All right.
Paintball. Okay, good.
That's it? That's the quiz?
Well, you know, a lot of times you don't know what the episode's going to be on that night.
Do you play, too?
Rob, were you so busy sitting by the phone that this is the quiz you put together on what? On a post-it real quick?
No. It wasn't a quiz per se, but also the guy already used another friend. So now I have no friend.
Yeah, the prick on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire used someone else's as phone a friend.
Oh, he did?
One excuse.
Rob is extremely, extremely depressed right now.
I'm a little bummed at ABC and Valley Crest and all the people.
Wait a minute. But they said they were going to call you, no?
Let me explain this. The guy calls the show last week and he says, hey, I'm going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, he makes a real big deal about calling and I want to use Rob as my lifeline. We get all excited. We think it's a great opportunity.
I said, absolutely, you know, take Rob, but just make sure that Rob is your first phone a friend.
Right.
Right.
And the guy said, okay. But then obviously when he got on the show, he went with someone else.
Which we think just plain sucks.
So right. we hope he loses everything.
Yeah. Unlike you, Leah, this gentleman has let us down. You come through.
What's his name?
Peter Braxton. The dick.
He's out. I'm totally going to vibe him tonight. He's on tonight or tomorrow?
No, it's on this Thursday's episode.
Oh, we're going to totally vibe him that he loses.
I like that.
Let's hope that he loses, like, the $200, like, the loser question.
Yeah, they call that corporate prayer. We all get together and hope against him at the same time.
We're totally vibing him.
He was up to where? To 1,000?
They couldn't tell me anything.
He's up to 1,000?
I don't know.
We don't know.
That's it? And he's already calling a friend?
No, Leah, I don't know. I thought someone said he was at the $1,000 question. But
sadly.
Because, listen, when they're at $1,000 and they're starting to call people, they're out.
It was a noisy studio, so sadly, I think he might have advanced. When the lady called, there was, like, noise in the studio.
Hey, Leah, do you have any more, like, award shows or big Hollywood-type things you're doing this season?
What? No, because when the TV Guide thing is out.
You didn't make it?
Thank you.
Oh.
No, didn't make it. But you know why?
Why?
They closed the, polling. So I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know how that. It was so weird to me because out of nowhere, all of a sudden they go, "Oh, we already chose the people we're nominating."
So you mean the?
How do you already choose the people? Could you tell me that?
So the online stuff didn't matter?
No, didn't matter. Obviously.
Oh. Well, who got? Do you know who got nominated?
Probably the usual: Jennifer Aniston, Sarah Jessica Parker. You know, the usual.
Yeah. Well, you should be in that company.
Well, maybe one day, sweetie.
You deserve to be in that company.
You know.
Don't you find, though, it gets better the longer you stay on?
Yeah.
No? Come on.
I want to be nominated now, baby. I want to win some.
Oh, Leah.
Oh, boy, you.
You like our new, that's our new Sopranos tape. For
situations like this, for a woman, a beautiful woman who's on a hit TV show who's complaining that she hasn't won an award yet.
Oh.
Complaining.
Why you?
Can I complain? You're the one who brought it up.
Listen to this. Don't be so sensitive. Listen to this tape.
Oh, boy, you.
I like the other one better. The, what's her name?
Oh,
the one you said I'm going to sound like.
Wait, who is that? Who?
Judy Garland.
Oh, yeah, player Judy Garland. All right, player Judy.
This is definitely our favorite new tape, though.
This is me. She is drunk and drugged out of
love
her
it.
Mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now listening to Leah Remini at 50 years of age.
I'm mad. I am mad enough, and yet still very self-conscious that I'm going to write a book and I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe, and I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
There you go.
Oh, for you.
And I couldn't. So what?
That's right. That's like looking at a time machine right there. 20 years.
I hear you, Judy.
Oh, my God.
Listen, my darling, as long as everything is fine with us.
Yes.
It's like you denounce the demonic Jack Diamond.
Very good.
Yes. Out.
Would you say,
out. Completely
would you,
out.
Would you say it one more time, just for the record?
Which one?
Would you say Jack Diamond is a horse's ass?
Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Isn't she the greatest? She knows how to make us feel better.
Thank you.
She knows how to make us feel better.
Thank you, Leah.
You're the greatest.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You guys are.
And everybody, watch Leah's show tonight, King of Queens. 8.
I like that paintball episode.
Eastern, 7 Central.
And remember how very talented you guys are. Really.
Oh, please.
You really are. Please. You have Charlie, who's a doll. You got Rob and Buzz. You know, you got a little freak show going. But it's just wonderful.
Listen, I want to tell you something. We're going to be out of this company faster than S through a goose. Because you may be the only person in CBS who likes us and appreciates us.
That's for sure.
We are.
Well, they should listen to other morning shows and start to really appreciate what they have.
Well, they're going to get the countdown very soon.
Absolutely.
What can I call? Let me call somebody on your behalf.
Oh, great.
Seriously.
We could use that help right now.
I'll give you two names.
What can I call?
Don, give her the names.
The first name is Dan Mason.
And who is he exactly?
He is the vice president of radio.
Okay.
And the second name is Mel Karmazin.
And who's he? He's the owner of
CBS? Oh, come on. You know who he is.
He's the head honcho.
Okay. Is he over, but is he over my stuff? Like,
yeah, he's over everything.
Okay. So, well, let's call him.
No, you call.
You call him on your own sometime, but have a few glasses of wine before you do.
No, I'm just going to call and say, I just want you to know that I support these guys and I love them, and you should really start to listen to other morning shows to hear how untalented these people are.
You should just tell him that he has us for roughly 700 more days.
Really? That's it?
Not that we've really started the countdown, but...
We eye that calendar now every day.
But
do you really want me to call... Because I will.
To call Mel? Yes.
No, not Mel.
Okay.
Mel wouldn't take my call.
Sure he would.
You think so?
Dan would take your call.
Yeah.
All right, I'll call Dan.
Yeah, call Dan Mason.
All right, well, have Charlie call me with the phone number and I'll call.
Dumb Prince Valiant haircut.
You're the greatest. That's very nice.
I really do love you guys. I really do.
I love you. And, please, if you do call this guy Dan Mason,
God, what a hayseed he is.
wait until you speak to this backwards yokel for a while.
Who's this?
Dan Mason, the guy who's in charge of CBS Radio.
Baby, if you want to do well in your negotiations, you probably shouldn't talk bad about them.
Oh,
you
know, hey, I got an idea. You know, Leah should call a radio programmer out in Los Angeles. Get us on out in Los Angeles. That's what we really need for this show.
Yeah, why don't you call KLSX? Tell them to take off Jamie and Frosty and whatever the hell the show is, the show that we should have.
Wouldn't you love to have us on out in L.A., Leah?
I would love it.
You know, they got the station out there, and I can't tell you how many years they've said to us, hey, you guys, you're a perfect fit. Well, you know, they fired Jonathan Brandmeier, and they replaced him with the disc jockeys from Star 98.7.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Disc jockeys who play records.
And that would really, you know what? I think of all the single thing that would help this show with syndication, with everything else, would be getting on in L.A. Absolutely.
I agree.
We got to do it because we're on in New York, but, you know, we're on at night there. We're not live there.
And I think we need you in L.A.
That should be the goal.
Call
yeah,
Dan.
Because we don't really have anybody.
So if you call Dan Mason,
yeah,
maybe you could ask Dan Mason about getting us on KLSX.
And that, you know what, Leah? That'd be a perfectly normal call for you to make because you could say, hey, I just wanted to, you know, I'm out here and I go on their show a lot and I'd love to have them on in L.A. Please get them on in Los Angeles.
Brilliant.
Okay, but is he a nice guy? Is he going to take my call?
Don, you know him. I don't know him. Don, you've had conversations.
He'll take your call because of who you are.
All right.
He's a very impressive celebrity. He's a very shallow man.
And then let us know how it goes.
Okay.
All right.
Have
you're the greatest.
Call me with the number.
Okay. Love you.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Leah.
Bye.
Wow. You got a friend there.
I don't think we need her calling the big guy.
No. No, that'd be a very bad thing.
But she could definitely call Dan Mason and his Prince Valiant haircut.
And you know what? That's a decent call to make. I mean, she's a star on a CBS hit television show. That is, you know, we have such a good relationship with Leah that we forget that sometimes.
Hey, Rob, would you pull back, will you isolate where she said Jack Diamond is a, whatever it was, a douchebag?
Horse ass, I think, Don.
Whatever it was. And we should just put that on a cart.
Absolutely.
Play that over and over again.
Leah can balance out the Patricia Heaton calls.
You know, I should have gotten her to say this is TV's Leah Remini, but wait.
Yeah.
Hold on.
With the masterful editing skills in this facility.
I got her saying it somewhere else here. Hold on.
This is TV's Leah Remini.
And then, bingo.
Okay, hold on. Let me review this.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Much better than Charlie's.
Oh, that's where I made her say she likes me better than Charlie.
That's right. She's great about that.
Jesus.
Oh, boy, you.
Yeah, right. I'm pathetic. I know it. All right, hold on. The old poor you is queued up faster than Leah. Okay, here we go.
This is TV's Leah Remini. Jack Diamond is a horse's ass.
Isn't she the greatest? Fantastic.
Oh, God. That worked out nice.
That's terrific. Yeah.
That worked out real nice. Real good.
Now, Rob, I'm real sorry about your millionaire thing, though.
It happens.
Sorry about
it. CBS Radio. This is Dan Mason. How may I help you, Miss Remini?
It's Remini.
Miss Remini, hi, this is Dan Mason. You have to pardon me for a minute. I'm just getting my Prince Valiant haircut here.
Hold it!
I realize that the mullet went out of style about 25 years ago, but I still got it.
We need to have them on in L.A., and I've tried my damnedest. Put them on or so what?
Well, Ms. Herman, it's been wonderful talking to you.
Right.
See y'all.
Just get them on.
I'll get right on it, ma'am.
Please.
Get right on it.
All right, honey.
Okay, so I
love you.
Time out. I love you, Missy. Tell me something. Do you look anything like Daisy Dukes?
No.
That is the last program I remember enjoying on CBS, The Dukes of Hazzard.
No, and I this conversation's over, and I tried my damnedest.
Hey, y'all. I do. This is Dan Mason from CBS Radio. I do believe that pretty young thing from Kings and Queens was drunk. So what?
Okay, time out. I'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lady, the Don and...
The Don and Mike Show cordially invites you to a beautiful evening in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. Friday, February 23rd, it's the Don and Mike Lake Tahoe Reno style show. This gala show will include all the raunchy fun you've come to expect, including the underwear fashion show, of course. The show is at Harrah's of Lake Tahoe, and it starts at 8 p.m. It's first come, first served. So make your plans now. We invite your ass to come on down.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
I'm cutting a fucking spot, Tony.
Don't miss it.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Well, I don't mean to piss you off.
Broadcasting with a secret stash of ass gas. Don and Mike.
Now, before, you know, we've not even talked about our weekends yet.
Right.
On the show. It's been so jam-packed. I understand that those of you who, well, if you listen to our show on WJFK, you know Lane Closure. Kristen Nash is a real name.
She is our local traffic reporter who does the traffic here in Washington, D.C.
Right. Hi, honey. Are you there?
Hi,
Garland. Hi. Now, Tom Gavin has called the show.
How many times today?
10 times today. Every time Tom Gavin has called the show, the first 5 times, I think Lisa hung up on him.
That's normal.
Because he kept calling and saying, I was at a party with Lane Closure this weekend.
Oh, so, an intimate party it was.
So I asked Rob to ask, and indeed, their paths did cross this weekend at a party.
Oh, my God.
And I knew I was in a classy place. It was a big benefit for one of the Genuine Virginia Band, a local band that actually is wonderful. And a benefit for their lead singer, and there was an all-day affair down at Sully's in Chantilly, and there were gazillions of people there. And when I got, it started at noon, and when I got there at 7 o'clock, there were drunk people littering the parking lot, holding up street signs, holding up cars. You knew you were in lovely downtown Chantilly at that point.
And when did you stumble on...
Well, there he was. There is this, you know, monstrosity of a beautiful kind of man.
Yeah, there you go. Nice description.
Yeah, and he's sitting right by the stage. He's got his feet up on the stage with his cane, kind of poking at the lead singer's a girl.
Right.
So he's kind of trying to poke at her.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, Tom, knock it off, Tom, knock it off. So I looked over at him and I said, are you Tom Gavin? And he said, yes. And I said, Tom, Lane Closure, nice to see you again.
And now, how did he respond
at
to that?
At that point, did he get a mess in his pants?
He was very, very excited. And we became instant buddies, and, you know, he's a good guy. You know, there's nothing really wrong with him. So
of course not. And how much total time did you spend with Tom Gavin?
Well, I actually ended up spending quite a bit of time with him, only because he was in the middle of the dance floor, and I was on the dance floor all night long with another girlfriend of mine, and Tom just, you know, we had sort of... I felt the eye contact for most of the evening. So, you know, I saw him all night.
You saw him all night, and how long was all night? Just if you don't mind me asking.
Oh, Michael.
Michael, he hates to be called Michael.
That's all right.
You're not going to see Kristen and Tom Gavin, or Lane and Tom Gavin anytime soon, I can tell you that.
All right, so there's no truth to the rumor that he got to third base with you?
You know what I've learned to do with rumors from you guys over there at JFK?
What's that?
Just agree with them.
Agree? Oh, yeah. So he did get to third base. That's fantastic.
Then the rumors die a heck of a lot quicker.
Well, Tom is in love with you. That's all he's been called. He's called Lisa, I'm not kidding, 10 times today.
He would like everyone to know that you're dating now.
Oh, that we're dating. Oh, yeah. You know what? We're dating and we're completely fooling around. And it's wild and crazy.
All right, good.
All right, well, great party it must have been if you spent the majority of your time with Tom Gavin. Hold on, I think I got him.
You got him here?
Sure. Hold on a second.
All right, we can reunite the lovers.
Tom?
No, this isn't Tom.
Oh.
Well, he sounded cute.
All right. Goodbye, Lane.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Lane Closure.
Yes.
Lane Closure.
A name you gave her, I believe.
Yeah. Wacky name.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all using names like that. Hey, there's Detour Donnie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's the one the girl had the other day, Robbie? The day that Kristen was out?
Vera Bruptly.
Vera Bruptly. That's funny.
And it was also had Detour.
Yeah.
Detour with you.
Detour.
Hello.
Hey there, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I just want to let you know I was out on Thursday night, and I also ran into Tom Gavin at a bar.
How did he get around?
I should have asked him. I was wondering the same thing.
He likes his nightlife.
I was over at JB's restaurant in Falls Church.
He likes to boogie. On the disco round.
Well, I heard him mention the Don and Mike show, and he sat next to me at the bar, and I said, you like the show? And he goes, yeah, I'm Tom.
He's Tom, and he doesn't wait any of those pesky lines.
Right.
Then he asked if I wanted a T-shirt, and I said, well, I'll get it off the website.
We don't have Tom Gavin, who has called 150 times, who calls all day, every day, and Tom Gavin is not calling right now. No, Robbie's not dead.
He's a nice guy. He really is. I talk to him for...
Well, we love Tom. We have him on the show all the time.
No.
I guarantee if Lane was giving him the time of day on Saturday night,
right,
that Tom probably had to throw his underpants away.
I think Tom probably had an eruption.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely.
A real explosion.
If she came up to him, and she's very nice, I don't doubt that she did that once. Lovely, said, I'm Lane Closer from the Don and Mike show. Mm-hmm. It was probably
Well, that's what that roar is.
And then he did that little thing where he claps his hands together, where he went... like Newman's character in Toy Story.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
See you later.
And, Rob, who is that actor that plays Newman?
Wayne Knight.
Thank you very much. I had that all weekend. I wanted to figure that out.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I had a celebrity sighting this last weekend.
Really? Did you mention us to the celebrity?
Of course.
All right, that's the rule. Who was the celebrity?
None other than... King of Queens star Kevin James.
Oh, you see him out at the Pro-Am?
Yeah, I volunteer at the Pro-Am. I work on Spyglass.
Oh, it's got to be. Was it as beautiful out there as it looked on TV?
Oh, my God. It was breathtaking. We haven't had that weather in 5-6 years.
You're jealous. I see all those. Wow. I see that fat third Rush Limbaugh out there.
Oh,
yeah. He's so fat.
He's gained weight back.
I saw him. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there a whole big thing where he'd lost weight?
Yeah.
He lost 110 pounds.
And then he gained some of it back, right?
A little bit, but he still lost a small human. He looked like I didn't recognize him.
No. If he lost 110 pounds, he's gained 105 back. He was gigantic, and I was thinking... Why the hell are they interviewing Rush Limbaugh on CBS?
I know.
And what's he doing out there with Clint Eastwood and Ray Romano?
Makes me want to puke.
That ain't right.
It's amazing.
Right.
You look at the different demographics. He was a huge hit with the people in their 50s. I mean, my hall was my number 15 at Spyglass, and it was flooded with 50-somethings waiting for his autograph. I couldn't believe.
I myself can't imagine the type of person that would be a fan of Rush Limbaugh.
Don, baby, how's it going?
I cannot imagine. So what did Kevin say to you?
As soon as he finished, he came putting up, and then he walked by me, and I said, hey, Kevin, I'm a huge fan of the show. And he said, thank you. And he was very cordial. And then I said, my favorite episode is when he had Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara on your show. And he laughed. He goes, yeah, that was funny. And I said, you got to have him back on. He goes, oh, anytime. And so he said, and he walked up to the next hole.
Good man, Kevin James.
He didn't mean it, but we thank you for the
session.
I didn't want to say it to Leah when I was watching them together because they were, I think, in the same foursome, at least the day I watched it. But Ray Romano has played in that tournament a lot of times. And I think this may have been Kevin's first big time tournament that he was playing in. And it's just, it's a lot of pressure that he had. And it was just, it was on a par three. You played a lot of par threes with your son, and that's the one where he hit
the executive course.
Yeah,
right?
It was a par three hole that he was on, and that's the one where he hit it like 20 feet off the tee. And he came down, and he was funny, though. He's saying, I just like to make it more challenging. I like to lay up on par three. but it's a lot of pressure when you're out there with all the pros.
I saw one with Ray Romano where he hit the shot that goes way off to the right and goes into a sandbank.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then it was one swing and the ball moved maybe an inch.
Oh, God.
And then he was like everything that, and I don't golf like you do.
Right.
I just know when I go off that they always say to me, guys, if it's you or whoever I'm with, slow down.
Right.
He went out there. He swung, but the ball goes an inch. He walks right back up to it, backs at it again an inch. Third time, boom! And this time, it's like he's hitting a wiffle ball. Because this time, the friggin' ball takes off and goes over the hole and goes into the water.
Yeah, it's a lot of bad golf out there when you see the pros. But you look at the leaderboard, and I'm always really, I scrutinize the celebrities that play in that thing. Like Tom Dreesen. When's the last time Tom Dreesen was
isn't he blind?
No, Tom Dreesen's like this old stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I know. Who's the blind guy I'm thinking of?
Tom.
Somebody.
I know who you're just. Sullivan.
I don't know.
Tom Sullivan, the blind, like, piano player, the blind singer.
Yeah, I always thought Tom Dreesen.
He's the guy that does the commercial for golf clothes. I play exclusively by feel.
Yeah.
He did, like, I think he did a commercial for Callaway. Well, I always look on that list and I just wonder how they let celebs in there.
I got the lamest one that I saw.
Who's that?
Tommy Smothers.
Oh, my God.
And Tommy Smothers.
Is he doing his yo-yo crap again?
No.
I saw him. He plays in it every year. I mean, it's guys, it's not celebrities as much as celebrities that just love golf. That's the, you know, that's the real priority. And I saw him one time and he's doing his little yo-yo trick.
Jesus.
Very depressing.
Tommy.
2 inches from the television saying, I want to be there.
Tommy freaking Smothers. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
This is Timmy. How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Great. I'm calling. I know you guys, it's already done and over with, but Kumbaya Johnny, he deserves a phone. He's his balls busted. Every time I go home, I hear this guy all over the radio. He's showing his face up at this club, and everybody needs to come. I say we put him in that bride's dress. But he looks in it.
This is one of the disc jockeys that was dissing Leah today. What station's he on?
He's either on 95.5 or Z100. So those are the only two stations I listen to when I go home.
You know what? I bet he's gone.
Yeah.
How you doing?
He needs a phone call, and he needs to be busted down pretty good, and I'm going to be listening. How well you guys get him.
It's one of the ensemble cast members.
Right.
On one of those shows.
He's like the Rob A. Spiewak of the Scott and Todd show.
We have the best ensemble, in my opinion.
Goomba Johnny. Except we don't give you a name like that, Rob.
Don't need one. I got Spiewak.
Hello.
Yeah, Rob A, I guess,
there
is
you
his
go.
Name. Hello. Don and Mike show.
Hey, Dad.
Oh, man, it's been a while. You know what? I'm going to give him credit because he waits just enough time.
Is this the how you doing guy?
Hey, Dad.
What can we do for you today, sir?
Hey, Dad.
See, this guy, this is lost on me. This guy doesn't do anything except to say how you doing.
Beware, he was banned the last time you spoke to him.
Did we ban you?
Yes.
Hey, he did
it. So he's on dangerous territory.
All right, you're officially banned.
Hey, Dad.
All right. See you later. See you later.
Hey, Dad.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dad.
That's fine. I don't know who's worse, this guy or nipple guy.
Hey, Dad.
How you doing? Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, Dad.
Bye. Okay. Let's clear the lines now. You just heard the toe tappy touch. We're getting very close. We are getting dangerously close to giving away this $500. If you are the 100th caller right now at 877-365-3636. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, Dad.
Number one, Arbitron Rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Have you seen my baseball?
Hey, check it out.
Have you seen my baseball?
Hey, buddy, come here. I think I know where your ball is.
You seen my baseball?
Yeah, I see it. You see that girl over there? She has it. Except that she doesn't call it a baseball. She's got another name for it.
Have you seen my Lena?
Even better than a nice dab in the ass.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's pretty good right now.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Nice ass stabbing.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we'll be playing Jenner Alive with Buddy Ebsen.
Yay. Yeah, we'll interview him, and then you make the call yourself.
He's dead or alive. The last time we had him on. I mean, no disrespect to him. Great actor.
Yeah. Fantastic actor, really. American icon.
Good friend of the show. We're positive that the last time he was on would be the last time he was on.
Yeah, I mean, he danced with Shirley Temple. Come on.
Also, Jude Lockhart this week. We're getting involved in NASCAR. Getting all kinds of people sending down to North Carolina.
Good.
To go to NASCAR. Tomorrow, match game. Special guest, the Kiss My Bumper guy.
Go on, just kiss it.
And also, tomorrow we will unveil our Valentine's Day 2001 plan.
Very exciting.
We always do a special show on Valentine's Day. This year is no exception. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right. What's your name, my friend?
I'm Lyle.
Lyle, where are you from?
I'm from Sacramento. And for large guys, you guys are pretty agile.
You mean you've seen us dance?
Absolutely.
Well, because you're from California, congratulations. You've won the Loving Couple Monkey Gram from Worldwide Monkey Gram. This is only supposed to be for people from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Right.
So we're going to make a special exception in your case.
Way to go. Lucky man.
You've won a male monkey and a female monkey, plus a box of chocolate truffles. Send a Worldwide Monkey Gram today by calling 1-800-85-85-101.
Right.
Now, here you go. $500 on the line, secret song number 4. It is and was a top 10 record by the in the 80s by a duo. Two people, two singers in this group.
Hence the term duo.
Give us title and artist. You win $500. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Alanis Morissette.
What about...
Christina Aguilera? She'll be back.
Well, yeah, I'm going to do Alanis, then maybe I'll do Christina later.
You want to double-check the songs and anything else?
No, I got this one.
You sure?
Yeah, I did some prep.
Okay.
I don't make the same mistake twice.
Okay, we wish you
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret song.
You know, it's been a while since she's had a hit. You sure you got it?
Well, and I, you know.
Our secret song, sponsored by our friends across the hall at Main Street Tidal.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh.
Thanks so much.
You're killing me. The new modern, Mike O'Mara.
Yes, sir. And they're going to get more modern, and they're going to get better every day.
For $500, artist... And song, please.
I'm going to guess Ryan Eyes, Hall & Oates.
That's good. You know what I like, though? I like Man Eater by the Eagles. That's one of my favorites. No, absolutely not. Thank you. Don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
Is a clue for you, even when it's a bad guess like that.
Yes.
All right. We'll continue. Tomorrow, we'll give you another clue.
Good.
To help you figure it out.
And I'm going
to
be listening to the radio more than I ever have.
Okay, so the weekend. I can't believe the show's almost over. I haven't told you about our weekends yet.
You had a rather festive weekend, right?
I had tons of stuff that I did this weekend. I was finally feeling better.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And rather than do what I should have done, which is just take it easy, grabbed life, grabbed it by the ears, and just shook it all around and said to my wife, a big mistake. I said, on both Saturday and Sunday, what do you want to do? I said, whatever you want to do, let's do it. And Saturday, she said, let's go to a furniture place.
Okay. And we got a... Now, right there, you've made a terrible mistake.
I know. She needs a chair, some kind of a chair. So she drives me out to Bum F, Virginia, where we pull into what looks like an industrial park. And
I know exactly where you went.
And I'm thinking, as we pull up to this building, which is nothing but...
You remember the name? I know you don't have to say it, but I'm going to write down the name of the store and you tell me if I'm right.
It's nothing but concrete, okay? No frills in this place. Oh, yeah. I think, great, I'm walking into, like, some warehouse. That's it, Mike. You got it.
Ding, 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 ding.
We walk into this place. First of all, they should have a sign up saying, you're entering a maze. Because...
Is this the first time you've been there?
Never been there. Walk in. And there's a giant room. A gigantic room where there are chairs and sectionals and there are lamps and there are pictures.
Right.
And as we walked into the room, I said to Frida, wow, I can see why you would want to come here. This looks like a great place for a bargain. And she says... You don't even know. She said, there's seven levels to this store. She said, I know people who have spent 5 hours walking from room to room.
Seven chambers. They're not seven levels. It's not a seven-story building. It's
this one is at least three stories. I mean, there are steps.
Yeah, it's three stories to say, but that's seven levels. It's not like a high rise. It's like you weren't paying attention. You see, I paid attention when I was there.
At least three levels, though, because I know that there are three levels of stairs.
Your maze description is perfectly wonderful.
And you go through a door, and as soon as you think that you're to the end, you get to an area where all of a sudden there's 8,000 new rooms of furniture.
And it's not like a real furniture place where... where you have it all just laid out in front of you. You kind of have to wind your way through the place.
Yes, and it's creepy, and I'm noticing that every guy who's there is just like me. He's just kind of following along. He's following his wife as his wife stops and looks at stuff. And at one point, I said to her, we had been in this place about an hour. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go wait in the car. You tell me when you're done. And she said, oh, come on. You promised you would go shopping with me.
Right.
And I said, okay. But meanwhile, the whole time I was really trying to figure a way out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they get you. There's only one door to get in.
Right.
There's 1,000 doors to this store. But all of the other doors have signs on them saying, emergency exit.
Yeah.
If you open this, an alarm will go off.
It's like a little corner.
Yeah.
You know, where you can go upstairs or you can go into the maze.
Yeah, and a maze is the only way to describe this, that there had to be, and I am not exaggerating, 40 different hallways
right.
in this store mm-hmm. where you walk down and you take a left or you take a right. Either way you're going, you're just going down a hallway that just has room after room after room after room after room of freaking furniture.
And then carpet.
Yeah, and, oh, the carpet. A gigantic warehouse with, like, every goddamn oriental rug in the world. Snot-nosed kids running around. They got a vending area where they're selling drinks and they're selling candy. And I said to her, why would anyone want to come to a place like this, and she said, because you can take the stuff home immediately.
Right.
That's the big come-on to go to this place. So we spent over an hour at this store. I vowed never to go back in this store again. It was an awful experience. And we followed that up. She says, now we got to go to Home Depot.
Oh, boy.
Because we need some bathtub stoppers.
What a day.
And as bad as that furniture store was, that was bad. Not because there were so many people in there, but just because it's so gigantic. There's so many mazes. It's like you could never find your way out.
Yeah, and it's narrow. And the thing that I hated about the place was that you would be coming up on a woman who would be stopped and staring at something she was interested in. And when women, I don't want to make it all women, but when certain women shop, they become completely oblivious to anybody around them, and they will stop. And when you say, excuse me, you're looked at like you're committing some sort of a crime.
Mm-hmm. Bingo. Should have been there Saturday. So we get done with this, and then she says, now we got to go to Home Depot. We go to Home Depot, and I mean, you would have thought that they had just declared World War III, and that the only place you could get a piece of hardware to survive was Home Depot.
Saturday.
That, I mean, and we know that now. We'll never make that mistake again. But Home Depot, you know, as bad as I said Best Buy was a couple of weeks ago,
right?
Home Depot was 25 times worse.
Yeah, everybody's there. What time were you there? What time? Do you remember what time of day you were there?
2:00.
Yeah, see, usually if 10 a.m. is even worse.
Well, some of them are open 24 hours. The best time to go is the middle of the night.
Well, Buzz, I guess that's easy, being as you can't have children. Okay. Yes. For those of us who have sperm who can actually swim,
uh-huh.
See, we have families and responsibilities. You can't just hop in the car at 1 a.m. and say, right. Let's go to Home Depot.
No. Okay, you had a bad time at Home Depot, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I can tell now, that's for sure.
I had a very bad time.
You went right from the Buzz Burbank can't have children thing. That's a bad time at Home Depot.
All right, that was followed up with, now we have to go to the grocery store together. Okay, so we go to the grocery store, which was like any grocery store on an afternoon. It was crowded, but it was manageable. The problem is that my wife is one of these types. She cannot help herself. She has to go up and down every aisle, even though there's aisles that there's stuff we don't need. We still got to go up and down every aisle.
Well, did she really need whatever she wanted at that furniture store either? Not really, right?
No. No.
She's going to kill me now.
Well, no, you know,
she's going to kill me. I shouldn't have said that.
I said to her, why don't you just take one of the chairs from downstairs and put the chair upstairs? We got a chair downstairs that nobody ever sits in.
I shouldn't have started.
I said, take the chair from downstairs and put the chair upstairs. She says,
Trita, well, I didn't mean it.
She said, what would I put in the spot where the chair is? I said, buy a table. She said, well, a table would cost as much as a chair. I said, buy a cheap table. All you're really trying to do is fill a spot in a room where there now is a chair that no one sits in.
You can put the bathroom stuff on that table and put the groceries on when you get home from the grocery store.
So then after the grocery store, we got to stop at GNC. because we're all on this health kick now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I've got to get my creatine, you know, cancer-inducing protein sticks or whatever the hell they got to eat.
Right.
And we can't just go in and buy the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The guy at GNC, and I can tell that Frida's been there before.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as she comes in, the guy says, hey, hi, how you doing?
Oh, you know immediately then that it's the type of guy that's going to be the expert. You get two people at GNC. You get the people that are the experts and the people that don't care.
Right.
Well, I would have loved an I don't care guy because what I had was the guy who put his hand out and said, hi, I'm Greg. And, you know, I mean, why am I introducing myself to a vitamin salesman?
Because someone, he's waiting for someone to ask him a question.
So, you know, it's like, hello, how are you? And this is our son, Bart. And meanwhile, all the stuff that we need is on the wall. Okay, it's a very simple decision to make. That you go to the wall and you figure out if you want the banana protein shake or you want the chocolate protein shake. But there are questions that have to be asked.
Ah, I knew it.
And that's what the guy is living for. And this is what gets me about this. You go into a place, and Frida asks him a very simple question. It's in concern to Bart that we don't want him taking creatine or other stuff like that.
That's the stuff the athletes use.
A lot of his friends are taking it in school. They're trying to bulk up.
Right.
So on one of these shakes, it said like it has a micro percentage. So the question was, is there enough in there to really affect him, or is it okay for him to take it? What the guy does is he picks up the box, and he spends 5 minutes reading the same panel that we've spent 5 minutes reading.
He's extremely lonely.
He picks up the box, he reads it, and I see him. He's actually mouthing the words as like, monosaloglaxamide 22%. Malum, blum, blum, blum.
You know what he's really saying when he's reading that? He's reading that thing. He's going, I want these people to stay alive. Please stay in my store, please. If they leave, no one's going to be coming in for another hour. I'll be so bored.
Well, he had us. Because after 5 minutes of reading, he came up with the same conclusion as we did. Not enough in there to matter.
Yeah. So we got it.
Go ahead. Let the boy have it. Yeah. A very small amount of this creatine in it. So we did all of this crap. We went to the furniture store. And we ended up with a stop at Best Buy.
And you even went back. It's good that you point that out. You're back, even though you said you wouldn't go.
And by the time we got to Best Buy, I had had enough. And I said to my family, I will wait in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And they both gave me the long faces, like, oh, come on inside. You don't have to wait in line if we're going to buy something. You can come back out to the car. So as they were walking in, I thought, oh, God, this is what being a family man is about.
Mm-hmm.
I boop the car, I go inside. I got to tell you, this time at Best Buy, no complaints.
Ooh.
And it was the Best Buy at Reston, no lines.
Same one that you'd had the problem with before.
Same one that 3 weeks ago I was ready to shoot somebody at. Mm-hmm. Not one friggin' problem.
Excellent.
So we get done with everything on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And all we got Saturday night is dinner up the street with the British people.
They're the people that know how to have a good time.
The British people have become our best friends on the street. The British people have also become the people that I'm not allowed to socialize with.
Oh.
I mean, I'm allowed to socialize with them.
Right.
But they bring out the best in me.
They suck you in.
And vice versa. I enjoy their company.
Mm-hmm.
We have a good time. We laugh. We dance.
Wow.
We sing.
Wow.
But mainly we drink.
and
I realized that the problem is that I started with a martini.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to dinner. And I got a wine glass in front of me. And the guy, Gary, unbeknownst to me, is continually filling the glass up.
Now, that's a good friend.
Yeah, well, he's a great friend.
That is a good friend, in my opinion.
He's one to come over and hug me and call me his mate. You know, mm-hmm. You're my mate.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do tonight? Let's have some fun tonight. What are you saying? Let's have some fun tonight. And
which translated means let's just get sloppy.
Yeah, let's. I mean, you know, they live four houses from us.
Right.
There's no problem with anybody driving.
You can stagger home.
We're all friends. That, you know, their little kids have been farmed out somewhere else. Our kid is back at home. He's by himself. I did take a tumble on Saturday night.
You had a fall.
I don't remember it. But I was told when I woke up on Sunday morning, that I had indeed taken a slight fall.
Oh, no.
Wow. While I was dancing.
A tumble? Where were you dancing that you had this fall?
Perhaps in the foyer.
Ah.
And I may have been doing a gay dance, because I may have just been dancing with Gary.
Oh, dancing with the man.
Dancing with the man?
I think so.
Well, I was my God.
I was dancing with both of them for a while.
Like holding him?
No, like disco dancing.
Boy, you were sloppy. He does bring out the best in you.
I like these people.
That's pretty intense.
I really like them.
Hello?
Honey.
Yes, Boo.
I'm just talking about Saturday night at the street.
Wait a minute, yeah. I'm in the middle of hanging wallpaper.
All right. Who was I dancing with more, Sarah or Gary?
Oh, you had your hands all over Gary.
Uh-huh. All over Gary.
Yeah.
Is Gary a handsome man?
Yeah, he is. He's a nice-looking man. A very nice, he's a nice-looking man. and I think that, yet I can restrain myself, but my husband, and you were dancing, and part of the time, you were dancing like up to his backside.
Pardon me?
You were dancing against his backside part of the time. It was.
You mean his Don?
He was ass to ass?
No.
It was groin to ass?
Yes.
Don groin to Gary's ass?
It was all my husband.
I don't believe that.
He was completely in.
Were your hands wrapped around his waist?
His hands were at least on his shoulders.
And then you were rubbing your groin up against his butt?
I don't believe this.
I swear.
I don't believe this.
All right, you didn't, I thought you hit low that time you kissed your niece. It was a new side of you that I'd never witnessed before.
Did you witness the fall, Frida?
Oh, yeah.
How was the fall and where did it happen?
It was a prant fall across their living room. And he had to be escorted because they have a dozen stairs coming down their front steps. So his very close friend had to help walk him down the stairs.
Wow.
Should have gone to Home Depot.
Listen, no different than the last time they were at our house.
Don't you say anything about anyone else. Don't you try and mitigate your behavior by casting mud on other people. Other people might have gotten a little tipsy on New Year's Eve. You know, it's a little bit more acceptable than a regular, and no one else made any homosexual moves when they were freaking.
I was not making a homosexual move.
All right, so I got to go. My wallpaper paste is grind.
All right, sweetie.
All right. How's he grinding your?
I'm no fag. Don't believe her. Don't believe her on that. I mean, I'll give you this. I was having a good time. I ain't no fag.
I don't think I've ever seen you dance with a guy.
I am no fag. I remember dancing with both of them where it was. We're like dancing in a circle.
Right.
Where it was the three of us dancing together.
Yeah. To a share record. You don't remember, grinding your groin up against his buttock.
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't. Although I'll promise you this.
Yes.
I'll call him tonight. And I'll ask him.
Oh, God.
Say, did I fag dance with you?
Right.
Because that's something a guy needs to know.
Sure. Well, he's obviously okay with it if he helped you down the stairs after you did that.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. It will change our relationship. And besides that, there's no way I would do that.
Well, it's just fun. I'm sure it wasn't sexual.
Oh, please.
It was probably just all in good fun.
I know, homo. When he uses the word mate, it's never a verb, is it?
Oh, that's funny. Thank you, Brian.
Say mate with me.
I have an aneurysm. So, in the middle of all of this,
Jesus.
In the middle of us having this party, we realized that we didn't have enough glasses. We didn't have glasses. The girls wanted to drink Cosmopolitans.
Oh, you mean those fancy martinis?
Right. And I mix them up like nobody's business. So we called down to our house. Said the boy. Listen, go and bring three glasses. Come on up to Gary and Sarah's house. And he had a simple job. And, I mean, listen, he gets it from me. The jeans come from me. Mm-hmm. For the second time, he does not even have his regular driver's license yet.
Right.
For the second time backing down the driveway, he wrecked my wife's car.
Oh, my God.
Remember he did it last summer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a problem backing up.
Wow.
Just like I do.
Oh, no.
Except when I'm dancing with Gary.
I'm sure you weren't that upset about it, though. Because, you know, you were having a good time.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
No, I mean, you know, what do you do?
You didn't know that when we called Frida. That's the first time you heard about the,
yes,
the grinding.
Which is why I think she's making it up.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I think it's BS. You know, let me get their phone number. I'll call them up, the Brits.
Very good. Made as a verb, Rob. Jesus, made with me.
I ain't no fag.
No, no, of course not. Not that there's anything wrong with that, sir.
But I ain't no fag.
Well, you've said you have tendons.
Honey.
We both have tendons.
Honey, listen, give me all three here, give their phone number to Rob.
Well, all right.
Thank you. Hold on, please. There you go, Robbie. 444.
What's his name? Gary?
Gary. Her name is Sarah.
Well, enough about her.
Great neighbors.
did you hear that?
don't be so. It's fine.
I heard you enough
it's
about
fine.
Her. You know, you want me to spend some time talking about the pictures I was looking at her topless bathing? Okay?
Yes, please.
Okay?
We'll get the truth.
The truth will set you free.
Oh, this will be a first for them.
Yes. If they're at home.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Sarah.
Yes.
Hey, it's me. You're on the radio.
No.
Yeah.
Put the phone down, kids.
Hey, tell the kids to get off the phone for a second.
Great. Put the phone down. Hello.
Hi. Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Can we have some introductions first, please?
Well, Mike, this is an important question. Okay, Sarah?
Yes?
Our favorite neighbor, this is Mike O'Mara.
Hi, how are you, Sarah?
Hi, nice to talk to you at
last. Nice to talk to you.
And that's Buzz.
Hi, Sarah.
Our news guy.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
And that's Rob.
Hi. Oh, right, yes.
And that's Rob A.
Tally-ho.
Hi.
Hey, listen, on Saturday night,
yes,
was I gay dancing with your husband? Tell me the truth.
Gay dancing with my husband? No, you weren't.
You might have to be a little more specific
I mean, you were cuddling and hugging.
No, that's not gay.
And there was a lot of squeezing.
You're killing me.
Totally straight.
No, I swear to you, you were very close.
You are killing me. You are freaking killing me here.
You're killing me.
Me
too.
Killing me.
Frida had actually described a type of dancing where Don was kind of grinding up against Gary.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I'm a dead man.
I tell you what. You know what? When we were at college, we used to call that the shaft dance.
What'd you call that?
The shaft dance.
The shaft dance.
Yeah. You'd sort of go up and you'd sidle up and put your leg either side of somebody's other leg, and then you'd sort of shag their leg. It's called the
shag their leg. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's what Mike was doing. Don was doing.
Ah, very good. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, you want to know what else he was doing?
Sure. Yes. Please.
Do you want me to carry on, Don?
Oh, I have no idea what you're going to say.
Oh. No, actually, there was a real mystery that night because when Mike and Frida turned up, Mike, as usual, had his array of cosmopolitans and vodka martinis mixed up.
Yeah.
But he also brought two cigars and his fabulous cigar cutter that Frida had bought him.
Right.
And he put them on the breakfast bar. And off we went, sat down, had a wonderful meal, and we got probably a little inebriated. But we came out, the boys went to have their cigars, and they were gone.
Yes, the cigars were missing.
They were, it's seriously, and it's still a mystery to this day. I found them hidden under a cushion on one of my chairs. But we still to this day don't know who hid it or why.
Would you have hidden it?
No.
Okay, I'm just telling
you. I'm just checking.
I don't know. I brought the cigars.
You brought the cigars.
To share with Sarah's husband.
So the cigar ended up
in the same. Before I anally raped
him. Okay, let me just say right now, I would like that this is my theory on this, even though you don't know what happened. I say that you hid the cigars.
Why would I hide the cigars?
I don't know.
I brought them as a...
Who hid them?
I think Don hid the cigars.
You know, he was too
desperate to have one to hide them.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. I was rather panicked.
And you know what? It was very difficult for him to walk in a straight line with any sort of surreptitious behavior.
Really?
Really.
Really.
Now, that's, it sounds like you guys have a fantastic time in that neighborhood.
Well, we do.
You know what? It is the happening place.
No, they're the best neighbors we ever had.
There you go.
I tell you, you wait till we do our trip to Spain.
Oh, there you go.
Stories to tell you then.
Well, I was telling Don that's a pretty darn nice place to go.
Spain is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for ratting me out on this. Have you listened? You know this whole gay dancing thing. This is unbeknownst to me until today.
What, you didn't know you did it?
No.
You really didn't?
No, I remember dancing with you and maybe with you and with Gary when we were listening to that dumb Cher record.
Do you remember Frieda and I dancing?
No.
Oh. Well, I don't think we'll go there.
Really? Was that an intimate dance?
Oh, Frieda and I were really dancing.
Oh, what a great neighborhood you have.
Jesus Christ.
We can put a show on, you know.
All right. Thank
okay.
you. Thank you, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All Very right. nice lady. Buzz is over there. He's being checky over there today.
Yeah.
The cigar ended up between two pillows. That's where you found the cigar.
Right.
Just a coincidence. I'm
right.
You're a brave man, though. You're a brave. You did something that I would never do.
What the hell?
After a night like that, I would no more because you honestly didn't know what was going on.
No, you think I would have brought it up?
No.
Absolutely.
The reason I was saying that, you had mentioned to me that another guy stopped by and wanted a cigar.
Yes.
And I was thinking maybe...
Another neighbor.
Yeah, maybe that you were hiding the cigars.
No, I was too out of it to hide the cigar.
Right, I was just checking.
And you should have seen me. I was desperate. You know, I mean, after a nice meal and after some drinks, it was like, hey, it's cigar time.
Where's my cigar?
Right, cigar time. All right, so that's... Yes, that's what I did. And my son wrecked my wife's car. And that's my weekend. I know it's been a while since I've come in with a good one for you.
That is quite, and that's a full weekend.
Yeah, and then I woke up on Sunday morning at my usual time at about 6 and came downstairs and tried to do that fake thing like I was feeling okay.
Right.
Feeling perky. Hey, good morning. Frieda said, boy, you had a good time last night. I said, didn't I? Give me some of that coffee. I chugged down some coffee, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go upstairs, and I'm going to come right back down to whatever you want to do today. I'm your man. And the next thing I know, it's 12:30. It's 12:30. I'm going to go, what time is it? 12:30. It's 12:30 in the afternoon.
Down for the count.
Yeah. Yeah, but I rebounded.
That's good.
Made it back alive. Okay, so that's my weekend.
You just can't get that guy Gary out of your mind right now.
Oh, no, yes, I can. F you.
You're just thinking about that, aren't you?
Yes, that's weird.
You were just palling around. You always get physical when you've had a few cocktails. You always get a little lovey-dovey when touchy. You've had a few. A little touchy when you've got a few. It's what you do.
But mainly with girls, though.
No, you do it with guys. You don't do it in a gay way. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
You do it in kind of a, hey, man, you're this guy hugs and something like that. You do that and you just hugged him while his back was turned.
Time out. Hey, I do want to hear about your weekend.
I don't know why. I didn't have as much fun as you did.
Oh, come on.
I did walk out of a movie, though. I'd like to...
That's not what I want to hear about.
You want my drinking on Friday night?
Yeah, but let's do a break first.
Welcome to Alky and Alky.
Be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show. The smell of their own fart. Don and Mike.
How we do? Hi, Mike. Hi, Don.
How was your weekend? I thought it was rather mundane compared to yours. We didn't really party like you did. We did our partying on Friday night. And when I say we, you know, it's a similar situation to you and Frieda. I mean, Laura... We'll go out to a restaurant, or we'll go up to where I play golf, and we'll have dinner there, and we'll order a bottle of wine, and normally, you know, they'll bring the bottle of wine, they'll pour Laura a little glass, and they'll pour me a little glass, and the wine will sit over in front of Laura for the rest of the evening, and then the bottle will mysteriously get empty. But I got up there, and we were going to have dinner together, just the two of us, and when I get up to the place where I play golf, strangely enough, two of my buddies were sitting there at the bar.
And one thing led to another, and I asked them to join us. And so not only did I have, you know, the usual, which is kind of like the better part of a bottle of vino, I had a few beers on top of that. Not many, though. Good. And I was a little sloppy, too, but I wasn't that sloppy. It was, you know, it's just boring. You know, it's just boring. It was not, it was something where, you know, for me, I drank more than I normally would drink on a Friday night. And I don't recover like you do. I was pretty much in the fetal position for the bulk of the day on Saturday. I didn't recover.
Like you said, I had one martini and finished off a bottle of wine with this guy.
Yeah, but you have to remember one thing about me. And you know, I've been doing this an awful long time, and I've developed quite a tolerance and stuff like that. And but the thing is, it just the evening did tend to last, you know, a little longer. And once the bottle of wine was gone, we kind of switched gears, which is probably a mistake. And you know, there's the discussion with my friends that are up there was primarily centering around crap. And
well, Mike O'Mara's crap.
There's a little sensitivity up at where I play golf to the name, and I you know, I was defending crap. You know, and the more I defended crap as I was talking, the more I, you know, would order up another one. And then passionate.
What do they want, like the four hip lads?
Yeah, exactly. That was my point. You know, I mean, what do you want here? And you know, I said, you don't have to even refer to the band's name when we do a function up there. You know, if there are people that would be uptight about that, you know, c'est la vie. But I looked them in the eye, and I said, if you hurt my partner, because I've used this a lot, I am crap, and crap will be the name of the band.
Without you,
right?
There is no crap.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Now, here we go. Here's a real statement. That was good to last drop, Mike.
Thank you so much. But I, you know, I don't know.
eBay.com. There's the part.
eGars.com.
eBay. eGars.com. You know what they do.
They support our farts. You know, the thing is, I don't know, because of the length of the evening, whether I was becoming a little oversensitive. So I don't know whether I was just getting worked or not, or whether there was real sensitivity to the name of this band, but I don't care, really. When I woke up in the morning, I didn't care, but my wife informed me that I cared a great deal. Cared probably more than I really should have on Friday night, where I was just passionately defending, you know, the concept, which to me is pretty damn funny, to call the band crap. It just, you know, to stand up the first time, if we ever get this thing off the ground and we actually really do go out and play at a party, to stand up over the microphone and say, good evening, we're crap.
Right.
That's worth everything to me. I mean, it's not worth doing it. You know, I know, maybe now I know how all the struggling artists feel.
Right.
It's not worth doing it to me now. It really isn't. I mean, I'm serious about, even when I'm sober. It is not worth doing if we can't have that name. That's the way
so
I feel.
So what you're saying, let me interpret this.
You are saying
right? That unless this band is named crap,
right,
you will not be a part of this band.
I will allow only one deviation from crap. I will allow an acronym like Caustic, Rude, and Petty, or something like that. But I will. But the band will be named crap. We will not be able to switch to like Bogey or whatever that is.
C-R-A-P, yeah, right. Would stand for something.
And I'm right. Perfectly willing to, you know, if they don't want to mention, you know, where we're playing, if they don't want to say it's crap, but when the lights go on,
it's got to be high.
Good evening, we're crap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's no, I mean, it's not negotiable.
Did you bring up?
I don't know if I'm steamrolling this through my other bandmates, but I mean, everybody kind of laughed at it. They thought sure. It was funny.
Did you broach the topic of
Mike O'Mara's crap? Not yet. But you know that's in my mind. You know, somewhere down. We got to see how we do first. We got to see. You know, the debut performance will not be Mike O'Mara's crap. I couldn't possibly be that. You know, I'm not that presumptuous, and I'm not also the. You know, there are many other musicians in the group far more skilled at playing their instruments than me. So I can't do it.
Are you a golf friend?
No, there are two of them that are. They're my golf buddies, and one, two, three. Three of the other people are more into music. So the three of us
but
are...
But you know what? You're the name value there, baby.
Yeah?
I am trapped.
You're the star, baby.
You said it to me, and I know you were, you know, you were being facetious the first time, but I thought about it over the weekend, and I know there's a grain of truth to that. And I looked in the mirror the other day, especially Saturday morning, and I said, I am trapped. But that's, you know, I don't know, because it was one of my friends. We got done with this, and it was funny, and there was a little smirking, but I didn't know how serious it was. And then another couple arrived, and they were talking about crap, and they, you know, because I brought it up again, and then the woman started going, crap, why crap? And as soon as he did, my buddy's going like this, giving her the cut sign, like, because like apparently I was getting all passionate and all worked up again about crap, because it means something to me, yeah, from my ticker, from my gut.
You ever thought the next time you get into one of these passionate discussions with these guys, maybe you should just
go around,
dance gaily with them,
grab them. They're very lovely men.
Yeah. And thrust.
I'll mention their names, Lance and Bill. They were very, very attractive.
Thrust
men.
Your genitals in their buttocks.
That's never crossed my mind. But it was a festive evening, and it was just enough evening where I woke up in the morning, you know, wondering, did I go too far? You know, those kind of evenings. And so, but everything worked out fine because I saw everybody else on the weekend, too. Then we went out on Saturday and we went to a movie. It's been a long time since I've walked out of a movie.
This is a record now, Buzzy. What was this, a 10-minute walkout?
This was probably closer to 15 minutes. You know, 20 minutes if you count the previous. Probably a good 10 minutes we gave it.
Wow.
I think it was something like 10-15 minutes. We walked out of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Mm,
big movie. You know, it got the Golden Globe for Best Director.
Oh, that's right.
And I saw on the trailer the special effects, and I said, it doesn't seem like a kung fu movie, so I want to go see this. It really looked unique when they showed people running over the trees and stuff like that. So we go in, and I'm really psyched to see this movie, because it's been a long time. I think Enter the Dragon was the last movie I went of this genre. Mm-hmm. So we sit down, and as soon as we sit down, it comes out, and they show this, like, Chinese village scene, and you hear this, and it says, and it's got subtitles. And I said, oh, it's subtitles just because it's, you know, they're going to, as soon as they, close in on the principles, it's going to go to English speaking. No, it was all subtitles. I'm not skilled enough to enjoy a movie
with
subtitles.
You made it through the subtitles with Life is Beautiful.
You know what? I didn't really like it, though. I liked Life is Beautiful. It was okay. But I hated the subtitles. I liked the overdubbing better. Because the overdubbing, at least you can say, you know, we will go to see your auntie, okay? So what we got were subtitles, which was, I will avenge the death of my mother. Yes, we will. Look at the sword. The sword is beautiful. It is a beautiful sword. Until you see it with the blood of many men.
All right, here is a scene from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I believe.
Here it is. Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Uncle Bill.
My nephew from Hong Kong, sir.
Hi, Kyung. Good move. You're number one.
Kyung is a Hong Kong champion. My neighbor, Danny Chen. Hey, shouldn't you be in school?
There it is.
That's exactly right. So 15 minutes, and it was a kung fu movie. I mean, it was like a little dialogue, you know, I will honor your father. Yes, it will be very good. Yes, we will avenge the death of my mother. Who has this? Yes, sir. She has got the magic sword. And then, and the only difference was is they were like walking up walls and walking across treetops. And, I mean, the special effects were good. However, after you see it once, it instantly became boring to me because it was the same old stuff, and I was tired. And so I leaned over to Laura. I said, are you bored? She says, yes. I said, 5-minute rule. We have the 5-minute rule because I think when you get up together and you walk out of a movie, you're making a scene. You're like, I'm leaving this film.
So one of you leaves, the other one comes out 5 minutes later.
Yeah, and Laura lingered a little bit too much because apparently there was some other fighting scene that she found comical. So I was standing out in the hallway, you know, watching the pimply kid pick up popcorn shells. So that was our Saturday night, and then Sunday was very mundane. I tried to play golf in 19-degree weather. I got up to the golf course because my buddy had set a tee time for I think like 8:45, and had breakfast at 7:45. So I was there at 7:45. It was great golf weather. It was 19 degrees. So that was my weekend. I didn't have that exciting a weekend. It was very, very very boring. Why are you looking at me like this? You're giving me a compliment.
No.
Are you still back at that house?
Yeah.
I know it. There's nothing I could say that would, you know, I wish there was.
No.
You know, I've done a lot of things that are embarrassing.
I know you have.
And I'll, you know what? I'll tell you what I'll do.
What?
Next weekend, I'm going to try to really make an ass out of myself.
Appreciate it. I feel like I'm on Ass Island right now. I'm on A-hole Island.
A-hole Island.
Let's go to Buzz, who, of course, had a perfect weekend.
world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
cleaning,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Shopping.
It's me.
He made it up.
Organizing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Setting up his captain's chairs.
Yes. Hey, you know, if we do get this gig eventually with crap,
yeah,
I'm going to ask you for like a little 15-second intro. You know, that we'll,
oh, I'd love to.
That we'll play on the cassette before crap starts.
Oh, I'd love to come out and do right. Give you a live intro.
Huh?
I'd love to come out and give you a live intro. You know what? No, come on. Don't do that thing where you say, you know what? No.
No. I don't know. You're not coming out to the debut. You're
Why?
Coming out to the second one.
Because I would have the greatest complex of all time.
I promise
that. I don't want that kind of heat for the first performance.
No.
You couldn't stop me.
No, yes, I could.
No, you couldn't.
No, don't. Don't do that to me. Don't.
Why?
Don't. We'll discuss it later. It's too much pressure.
I didn't mind if you...
Too much pressure.
I didn't mind you seeing me perform with the Grassroots.
I never saw you perform with the Grassroots.
You didn't want to.
Yeah.
But I never said you couldn't.
Huh?
I never said you couldn't.
Oh,
come on. No. Come on. I gotta come and see you.
No.
And then maybe I'll gay dance with you afterwards.
Yeah. I'll present to you. I'll lift my buttocks up in the air.
Hey. A buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story tonight on the news in the comments?
Tonight, President Bush and the Great Tax Cut Sweepstakes.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. Don and Mike Show.
On my show. That was very professional.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln. The Don and Mike Show.
No, that's Hal McCray. Hold on, turn that off.
It wasn't that bottle he was drinking from.
Which state, Buzz?
The one that says President Bush.
Gotcha.
Well, this is Legion Heaney. With you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame, will you destroy my phone number?
All right, here he is. W.
$1,600 will pay the average mortgage for a month. $1,600 will pay for a year's tuition at a community college.
$1,600 is the average that President Bush says Americans will get back out of his tax refund plan. The Democrats say the tax cut will give the rich enough money to buy a new car, and the average American enough money to buy a muffler. They also point out that no family from the 33% tax bracket was represented at today's White House meetings, and they say they worry that too big a tax cut will bring back the deficit.
Because $1,600 for a car, is it all at once?
No. No, the $1,600 was the average refund that he's talking about. He said that that will, for example, pay the tuition at a community college or pay 1 month's mortgage payment. The Democrats are saying that the way they see the amount, whatever amount they're talking about here, will give the rich enough money to buy a new car. They're not looking at the average. They're looking at what the rich will get, enough to buy a new car, and that the average American would actually get enough money to buy a muffler.
Which isn't bad if your muffler falls off.
Yeah.
You need a muffler,
right.
You need a muffler.
And if you're rich and your muffler's bad,
then buy a new car.
Oh, just a little comparison.
Katie bar the door.
Gotcha. Contrast and compare.
Mm-hmm.
A man with a gun started shooting today inside the plant where they make International Harvester farm and industrial equipment.
Wendell.
Five people died at the Navistar plant in Melrose Park, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Four other people shot, two of them in critical condition.
Oh, no.
The gunman is one of the five dead. He was a former employee who was supposed to go to prison tomorrow for stealing from the company. He had worked at the plant for 39 years. I'll say this isn't so. Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman have separated after 11 years of marriage.
You're telling me that Don is falling?
Rob,
Don's fallen on the floor.
You remember what happened?
Don has had another fall.
You remember what happened the last time he fell?
He's never done a Brad fall. Don's had a terrible fall.
Oh, my God.
He's overcome with grief.
Oh, my God.
Are you okay?
Are you okay? You telling me Tom's available?
I knew you'd be devastated. There's spokeswoman.
Oh, I want to dance with him.
His eyes are wide open. There's spokeswoman made the announcement today in Los Angeles. She says Cruz and Kidman still have great respect for each other, both personally and professionally.
Right.
The spokeswoman says they blame the breakup on the difficulties of having careers that keep them apart. No word on who gets the kids, Connor and Isabella.
I wonder if that's...
Oh, for you!
So I guess that scene in Eyes Wide Shut, maybe that's accurate, you know, when she's talking to him about the fantasy she has about the naval officer, which is like my favorite scene in that whole movie. She's on the market. You're telling me the gold is on the market?
Well, hold on, we gotta do this.
All right.
And then we'll be right back.
Number one, Arbitron Lincoln, the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, Pebbles. You too, Dino. Daddy's speaking on the radio.
Staunchly opposed to Tan Cake City, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, tomorrow is the return of Match Game 2000.
Hey,
I'm going to be playing with the Kiss My Bumper guy. He's coming in to play the game tomorrow.
Oh.
Also tomorrow, Buddy Epson, and later this week... Hugh Lockhart,
yeah,
making her triumphant return on the program. That will quell the whole business about your weekend.
Yeah, that's right, because I made out with Hugh Lockhart once.
And, also from Survivor this week, Mad Dog.
Cool.
So we got a big week of shows. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Jimmy Buffett got thrown out of the Knicks Heat game in New York yesterday for swearing at a referee. Police escorted Buffett from his front row seat at the American Airlines Arena just 30 seconds before the final buzzer. The mayor of Margaritaville was angry about a series of mistakes by his Miami team. He was screaming, "This is bull ass," and a few other choice words within earshot of game officials. And all this happened in front of his own six-year-old son, who also saw his dad argue with and ignore the instructions of police. The scuffle caused a five-minute delay of the game. The Knicks won 103-100. But Miami coach Pat Riley didn't think Buffett should have been ejected. He tried to explain to the ref who Buffett is, but he says the ref nearly hit him with a technical after he referred to Buffett as a parrot head.
I think it was Jimmy Buffett's grandson. In the most of the stories I read, I mean, that's how old Jimmy Buffett is now. It's not even
wow.
A kid.
Do you think he was loaded when this happened? I mean, it sounds like...
I don't think Jimmy Buffett, because I don't think he enjoys that sort of thing.
Right.
Or anybody that goes to his show.
That's right.
Hey, I'm a parrot head. What's his hit?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope he sings his own. Have a great.
There we go. So Riley tried to tell the ref, you know, Jimmy Buffett's a parrot head. The ref thought that was an insult, and as Riley says, quote, "So that tells you where our officials are coming from." An Amtrak passenger train slammed into a stationary freight train just north of Syracuse, New York today. Of the 75 people on board, 68 were hurt, 4 of them critically, 11 seriously. Folks were evacuated.
That comes in handy for a lot of circumstances.
Yes, it does. Folks were evacuated from a simulated ride theater at Disneyland over the weekend. Smoke had begun to pour out. Smoke poured out of an overheated amplifier, clouding the big IMAX movie screen at the new California Adventure attraction.
One of those people, Buzz.
Wow. One of the victims.
At Disney.
Oh, this is what Disney did to this man.
Oh, God.
Poor frail man.
Oh, God. Oh.
No one got hurt during what was billed as a sneak preview. The attraction officially opens on Thursday, pending the okay from fire officials.
Give them all a food coupon.
In Hong Kong, where they're building the next Disney theme park, construction crews dug up a lot of bombs from the World War II era. None of the bombs has gone off yet, but each one has to be defused, keeping the local bomb disposal crews busier than usual.
Oh, they dropped a lot of bombs on them. Yeah, it's a cotton picket bomb.
One of the bomb experts says they probably won't find all of the bombs where the new Disneyland will open in 5 years.
Disneyland.
And although he says the bombs are capable of extensive damage, he says he doubts that any of them will go off once the park is opened.
Disney.
45 bombs dumped there by the British have been found so far.
Okay, one more break, come back. A full set of the news comic coming right up.
Number one, Arbitron Link, the Don and Mike Show.
Just remember what your old pal Bozo always says, just keep laughing.
Two DJs who love BJs. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, hold on. That's the same music we just used. Hold on a second. There's a freaking quality control around here. Hold on. Wait, let me try this one. Hold on a second. Bear with me, everybody. All right.
Uh-huh. Dogs love cheese. Uh-huh. And people love the Don and Mike Show.
Uh-huh. And this segment of News and Comment with Buzz, sponsored by eGars.com. Great gifts for Valentine's Day, like cigar samplers, the Mac, the Nudo, Hardikinson Punch, www.egars.com. And once again, here's the very clean and organized Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A former Green Bay Packer, Mark Chmura, says he'd like to play pro football again. Yesterday he cried as he apologized and promised everyone listening nothing like this will ever happen again.
I disappointed a lot of people, and for that I'm truly sorry, because I am a role model, okay? I'm a role model. And I let a lot of people down. And for that, I'm very sorry.
To the letters, F-O means thing to you. The night before, Chmura was found innocent of sexually assaulting a teenage girl, which could have cost him up to 40 years in prison. But the jury found him guilty of bad judgment. The jury foreman, who manages a bar, said he put himself in a bad situation by being drunk with kids and in a hot tub in his underwear. The 17-year-old girl who accused Chmura says she's devastated by the verdict. She says she absolutely did not make a false accusation. She says that would be evil. But she says what happened in that bathroom that night was wrong.
That would be evil there, Buzz.
I don't know. Whether it will last remains to be seen, but the XFL got off to a great start in the TV ratings Saturday night. The game between the Las Vegas Outlaws and the New York, New Jersey Hitmen got a 10.3 rating and a 17 share. That's nearly triple the number of people usually watching NBC on a Saturday night.
Well, that's the point that the Bette Midler TV show got a big rating the first time it was on, too.
Good point.
And deservedly so.
The rating Saturday night was double what the advertisers had been told to expect, and it led NBC to a victory over the other networks that night. It also easily beat Game 1 of the last World Series, which aired on Fox, also on a Saturday night. Mm. It's official. Kelly Ripa is the new co-host for Regis on that morning TV talk show.
Ripa.
Okay.
It's Ripa.
Yeah, that's what I...
Ripa.
Yeah.
That's great, mate. She's got a great rack.
She didn't waste any time.
It's been a long time since we've heard your crocodile hunter.
I just got stung by a wasp, mate. It feels good. It's right on the end of my Johnson.
Ripa.
She didn't waste any time busting on Reed, telling him he needed moisturizer for the dry skin on his leg.
And as you know, as Louis Chacolt sings,
yes,
don't fear the Ripa.
Ripa will continue working on the soap opera All My Children, where she's been for the past 10 years.
The Grim Ripa.
She's 4 months pregnant, or Reed just introduced her by
the
saying,
Grim Ripa.
She's
the Grim
here,
Ripa.
And she ain't leaving. Jennifer Love Hewitt says her breasts are real. She tells the March issue of Mademoiselle...
Oh,
so glad she's talking about him.
Mademoiselle magazine. She says, I have great bras. That's the secret. Mm. The 21-year-old actress has been the subject of a lot of rumors about whether she's had surgery. She says she laughs off the rumors by wearing a T-shirt that says, silicone free.
Right on!
Yeah. Now, that's a good interview.
But quoting her, I don't know why it's such a big issue. All over the world, boobs are big talk. End quote.
Right, mommy.
Mm-hmm. You might want to get into the habit of shutting off your cell phone when they tell you to on an airplane. In Saudi Arabia, an army officer didn't obey the flight crew and kept talking.
Charlie Broyhill.
The man in Saudi Arabia has been sentenced to 70 lashes for this.
All right.
The police chief of Omaha, Nebraska is not amused. He wants to know who broadcast the Van Halen song Jump over the police radio while officers negotiated with a man threatening to jump off a bridge.
Some of us have the humor, isn't it?
The lyrics of the song, which has nothing to do with suicide, include, might as well jump, jump, go ahead, jump. Omaha police officials say the man on the bridge couldn't possibly have heard that, and he didn't jump. After 4 hours on the bridge, he finally surrendered.
One more, Buzz. Now, that's funny. Somebody in the police department. Somebody inside did that.
Yeah, either that or any one of the other emergency workers, like a fireman, or they think perhaps maybe even somebody who stole a police radio.
Come on, jump, everybody. Might as well jump.
It's a happy, happy day at Glasscock County High School in Gibson, Georgia.
Oh, my.
The basketball team's 62-game losing streak is over.
Oh, finally. Way to go, Glasscock.
It beat a team by 3 points on Saturday, its first win since January 1998. The school's football team lost 81 games in a row before finally winning one last October.
It's always a happy day, Buzz. We're going to say something good about Glasscock.
I know.
We've been from the waste for Glasscock.
And, Buzz, we thank you for the news and the comments.
You bet.
Time now for a call 100, a prize package selected especially for you. Call Lisa, standing by. Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now. Good luck.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.
Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
And Drew.
Hey.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mever.
All right, here's Buzzy. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. In sports, that Daniel Snyder, he's a clever one. The owner of the Washington Redskins isn't raising ticket prices this year, but he is asking season ticket buyers to get their money in 2 months earlier than usual.
I got the letter at home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Normally you have to pay by May.
Right.
This year you have to pay by March.
March 1st.
Always a little something extra for the fans.
We got the letter.
The front office says this will allow better distribution of the tickets. But with 60,000 season ticket holders, financial analysts point out that Snyder can make a bundle of money off that extra 2 months' interest.
He sure can.
Peter Bondra's new deal with the Washington Capitals could make him $18 million richer. The veteran wing is also reportedly getting a $1 million bonus over the next two seasons under his new contract. The Washington Times says that bonus comes in the form of a buyout clause. Bonder's now in his 11th year with the Caps, and he's the highest-paid player in club history. The New York Rangers have traded right-wing John McLean to the Dallas Stars for future considerations. McLean is a 17-year NHL veteran who's been playing in the minor leagues for all but two games this season. And finally, fruit and monkey chow is fine for most days, but when the humans aren't looking, what a girl gorilla really wants is junk food.
Sure.
In Pittsburgh, a 150-pound female gorilla got out of her cage somehow at the zoo and terrorized the humans for about 45 minutes. She got into a concession stand and made herself at home while the zookeepers tried to figure out how to get her back in the cage.
I laughed at any story like this with the zookeepers.
And monkeys.
Because I think that Scott Shannon and Mason Dixon.
Leland Wheeler was called in to control the ape.
Hey, come here, monkey.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
What's happening there? How about that?
Zoo crew live from the nut.
Hey, get that monkey out of there.
The gorilla dined on cherry pastries and muffins and soda pop and then did some rifling through the garbage. The zoo's animal escape team got her into a women's restroom and tranquilized her.
Hey, I bet they tranquilized her.
She'll be fine.
Give her some penicillin.
Zookeepers say the anesthesia and the junk food may have made her nauseous.
No.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! And we thank you, Buzz. That's it. Yeah, we got to go back. Tomorrow with the all-new episode, we will be, hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right. Hi there. What is your name?
Jake.
Hi, Jake. Where are you from?
Spartan, Nevada.
Jake. You know, we'll be there in just 2 weeks.
I'll be there.
We'll do a live Las Vegas-style show at Tahoe at Harrah's at Tahoe.
Harrah's with our big Reno Tahoe-style show.
And you, my friend, caller 100, have what a bouquet of Valentine flowers, courtesy of Sprint. Stop by your Sprint store and check out the great offer of 2,000 minutes for $49.99 a month with a one-year Sprint TCS Advantage agreement. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Hold the line. Tomorrow, Buddy Epson will play the Dead or Alive game with him.
You be the judge after the interview.
Is he dead or is he alive? Also tomorrow, the live match game with the Kiss My Bumper guy. Oh. Yeah. Yay. So go ahead, just kiss it.
Very good.
We got to go see you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Our thanks to Leah Remedy today. Watch her show tonight on CBS King of Queens. That's it. We got to go. Mike, are you ready to throw it in Rob's mouth?
I am.
And Robbie, throw your hat in the air right now, just like Sydney. Tyler Moore.
My bad.
Don't go there. We will see you tomorrow.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. and let me leave you swinging.
Number one, Arbitron Radio, the Don and Mike Show.